Hello, and welcome to another episode of Interactive Distractions. And yes, this is Peter Molyneux. Oh yes, the Peter Molyneux. And before you get into episode 148, the contest entries for this month, please know we are here not just bringing you another podcast. We are here just reaching out to your hearts, to your souls, man. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is what podcasting is all about. This is what the world needs. This is what the world wants. So sit back and listen and enjoy Interactive Distractions. And before we go, here's a word from my little son once more.
Hello, stay tuned after the show to listen to Jeff and Travis talk about Halo Reach spoilers. I'd really like that very much, please, sir.
It's time for me to rock.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 148. My name is Christopher Keough and I am here with Travis Baum.
Hello.
And Jeff Chorney.
What up?
Today we're doing some contest entries for September. We asked you guys to cast us in Dispatch the Movie, and we got a few entries for that. Much fewer than I was hoping, I have to admit. I'm a little disappointed, but that's all right.
We'll get to it. Was a little bit self-indulgent, but hey.
Yeah, it was, but you know, it's fun to do kind of stuff like that, so... let's see. Let's go around the table, see what's going on. Mr. Travis, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, actually. We're really getting the Indusfest thing going on. I think we've, let's not spill the beans right now, but we've gotten some progress on a lot of our Friday night festivities, a lot of music stuff we're going to be getting down to. So, it's getting really, really exciting, albeit... Wow, it's getting much more stressful. Like, I mean, we still have extra life to go through. So
I'm stressing, that's for sure.
Yeah. I'm definitely feeling the pressure you guys were feeling last year. So, but anyway, yeah, that's it, man. It's just the IRL
work.
Idness business, and then there's IRL work. It's just, you know, living a dream, I guess, being stressed, and that's it. Jeff, what's up, dude?
A whole lot of mute button, first of all.
Gotta love that.
Yeah, not too much, man. Pretty, not so interesting week besides what you guys just talked about. I mean, I'm not really feeling that stressed out, mainly because I'm in Toronto and I can't talk to the people there in Atlanta. So it's hard for me to organize shit. So I'll just be like, I'll just show up and then I'll be stressed once I get there. That's the way.
Yeah, we're going to make you do all the legwork once you get here. You remember all that setup we were doing before we did the live show?
Oh,
that's on
fine.
You this year.
That's fine. I have no problem with that because I don't have all to worry about the stress leading up to it. Except for being like, yeah, we should totally get that band. Or yeah, no, we shouldn't do that. Yeah, whatever. All right, guys, I got to go. You go talk to them.
There you go. At least Nico will help you out, though.
There you
exactly.
Go.
That's right. That's why we got the roadie.
That's right.
Yeah.
Cool. We can make him duct tape wire all day long, and he loves it.
Yes. I'm going for a big tattoo tomorrow, though.
Nice.
Gotta mention that. That's
that is exciting, dude.
It's exciting and kind of nervous at the same time. Because it's going to be on me. Yeah, it's going to be pretty big, and it's permanent, and it's going to be there forever, and it's going to hurt for, I'm guessing, at least 6 hours straight.
That's
so,
what she said. Man, no. That was awesome.
Bam.
Anyway.
But yeah, other than that, man, that's it. This week's been kind of slow as hell. Work's been slow. Things have been slow. Stuff's been slow.
Cool.
Let's speed it up. Chris, what have you been doing last past week?
Oh, man. I'm not going to go too deep into shit right now, but I'm looking forward to this weekend because I'm going camping with some friends. We're cool. Taking Liam out with us. But today was shitty, dude. It was just fucking horrible. And,
right?
You know, I had... We at work, we pushed out a new publish to our stores, and we got three production issues all on the same day, it was a very stressful day.
That's
so I'm sitting here drinking some wine, much needed as well. So enough about that bullshit. I want to talk about Indusfest a little bit more. I sent out the PMs to those who have confirmed that they are coming. So if you guys got one of those PMs, please send it back as soon as you possibly can, because we need that information. And if you did not get one and you are on VG Evo, please also let me know, because I will get the requested information to you so you can get back to me.
I got mine.
What's that?
I got mine. I'm going.
Yeah, I got you covered, man.
All right, nice.
Besides that, you know, we're knocking shit out, man. As Travis was talking about earlier, we're working on getting Friday knocked out. We've got a little speed bump to get over right now, and you know, we're halfway.
Not gonna
over.
Lie, I was really excited to possibly announce that on this show, but
yeah, we need to get over the speed bump first before we can announce it. But we were planning on doing it on this show, but hopefully next show. We're getting over the speed bump. We're gonna get it figured out. But you know, everything else is doing pretty well, and people are getting me their itineraries. And you know, out of the 50, 60 some odd confirmed people, I've got about half of their information now. So you know, we're doing pretty good, man. It's exciting and stressful all at the same time. It's like I keep looking at the calendar, and it's like, holy shit, it's like a month away.
No kidding.
No. So well, cool. Let's talk about some games, guys.
You,
Travis, why don't you go first?
All right. Well, the only thing that I've been playing, Dead Rising 2 came out Tuesday. That's all I've been playing for the last 2 days. I don't even think I played anything on Monday. But Dead Rising 2, I gotta say, it's pretty good. Like, I'm really enjoying it. It essentially is, now we say this a lot. Chris is actually one of your lines. It's more of the same.
Nice.
Well, no, not nice. It is nice. It is nice, but Chris likes to say it's more of the same, but that's a good thing. And it is,
absolutely,
in fact,
yeah.
It is in fact a good thing. If you're a fan of Dead Rising 1, you're going to love this game. It's pretty much the same game in a new setting, kind of a better setting. It's much, much better than the Willamette Mall. And then you have more toys to destroy and eviscerate zombies with. You know, it's to me, that is more of an improved game. The psychopath encounters are just as fun. I encountered one today that is super, super creepy. It really rivals the clown from the first game that was really creepy in the first game. I really like it so far. There's a couple of things that I have, even though it is more of the same and I am happy with that, I do wish that there were more, I guess, in terms of the way the character progresses. It's the exact same thing. Like, you level up the exact same way. Like, I'm expecting, like, when I was leveling up the first couple of times, I'm like, okay, when am I going to get my jump kick? Oh, level up. There it is. You know, when am I going to get this? Oh, there it is. I remember that. It's the same thing. They didn't change that one bit. So even though I'm used to it and I'm going through the game and it's still fresh in my head because I played Dead Rising 1 so much, it is, in a way, stale. But I'm happy.
Not as bad as Crackdown 1 to Crackdown 2 stale.
I couldn't tell you because I didn't play that.
No, that's right. You didn't play 2. Yeah. That was pretty stale.
Based on what you guys are telling me, based on what you all said, it's not the case of Crackdown. It's still...
Well, it's a totally different environment, which helps for sure.
Yeah. And the environment's great. With the mall, they had very, very regular cliche mall stereotypes, the music and all this other, you know, random mall stuff. But with it taking, you know, the Vegas route, in this case, it's called Fortune City. You have, now there's a lot of mall areas for, like, you know, souvenir shops and everything, a lot of, like, you know, Vegas would have. So there still is a lot of familiar areas, that you would be used to from the first Dead Rising. But then you go outside and you have, like, the Vegas Strip and you have these outside attractions and everything. Like, there's a situation where there's a band playing for, like, hundreds and hundreds of zombies and everything, and you got to save the band members and escort them back, which is they do a lot of cool things.
Okay, do they actually do something when you're escorting them this time, or are they such a pain in the ass like the first one?
Okay, a good question, because no, they really don't help you out as much. If they have a melee weapon, yeah, they're more inclined to helping you out. But if you give someone, like, a submachine gun, they're really not ever going to use it because they're too busy trying to follow you. They're not going
to
stop.
But they are at least trying to follow you, though. Because remember, the first one had a problem. Like, if you weren't literally babysitting them, like, right next to them, they would just stand there and get mauled.
Taking people with you is much easier.
Okay, cool.
Much easier, because it was kind of a pain in the ass last time. But it is easier. I haven't had an issue. Once I recruited somebody, there's not one person that died on me. And I've had four people at once. They evade the zombie. All you gotta do is just clear a little bit of a path for them, just the slightest path, and they're just gonna run through those zombies. There may be an issue where they do get kind of caught up, but that's really not the case very often. It's just, but gathering people is really fun, and they made it easier and less stressful because that is really the main way to level up. And that's really neat. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, because a lot of people looked at it as a criticism and like a kind of downfall to the game, but a lot of people swear by this is what makes the game good, is the fact that everything is timed and you can't do everything you possibly can because you have to beat certain areas at certain destinations. And the big problem with that was saving. If you were at a certain point and you had a save point, that was
my main concern.
Yeah, like before this, you had to get to a certain area, you were pretty much screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same? Is it the same kind of save system from the first one?
Okay, it's the same exact save system, but. Now, there is a chance... Okay, well, let's say it's the same as like save system, yes. But the saving areas, the bathroom... Because you can only save in bathrooms. They're way, way more bathrooms. Like, and before big story events, there's always a bathroom before a big story event. Mm-hmm. Like, there's always a place to save. All you gotta do is hit select, look at your map, and you'll find a place. You know, it's not a problem. Cool. Now,
so
if you're not gonna
load up games and be like, crap, I have to be at the other side of the mall in like 1.4 seconds and there's no possible way I can get there. You're probably not gonna run into that.
If you save smart, and because there's three spots for save files. If you save smart and save, you know, many, many times. Every time I see a bathroom, I save. I don't mess around because I want to make sure that I am not going to lose a half hour to 40 minutes of my playthrough. Or I save often on all three files if I feel like I want to, you know, kind of that Valkyria Chronicles thing. I feel, okay, well, I kind of messed up. Let me go back to the save and, you know, fix what I feel like I screwed up. You can do that.
I did that a lot.
Yes. It's very, very forgiving in that aspect. And like I said, having more bathrooms to save is really, really cool. There was one issue in Dead Rising 1 where there was after you fight the clown in that kind of roller coaster area of the mall, there was one place, and it was really the only area where there was like a shortcut from that bathroom to the bathroom that's closer to the safe room. There's a couple of those now, since this area is so much bigger than the Willamette Mall. So they actually give, but you have to save the correct amount of citizens and bring them back to the safe house. And this game does a really good job at that, to giving you more bonuses, not just experience, giving you more bonuses to just, you know, like for instance, I saved somebody and they showed me a shortcut. I had that happen a couple of times. You save a couple of choice people and they give you Zombrex, which is the medicine you need to give to
your
daughter every, you know, once every day. Like, so if you miss people, you may miss out on certain things. So you want to make sure that you're, you know, saving as many people as possible, of course, but you get more reason to do that instead of just getting experience, which is very, very cool. You get more motivation to help them out. But other than that, I mean, it's Dead Rising 2. Like I said, if you did not like the first one, you're not going to like this one without a doubt. But
I'm not going to agree with you on that because I might like this one just because I can save easily. that was my only real issue with the first one.
There you go. So I would say try it out, man. I'm having a killer time with it. I mean, I'm already like level 15. I'm about to finish day two onto the final day because it still does the same 72-hour day. And if you beat it, you have the New Game Plus, which is like kind of like a 5-day game. And then you have a 7-day game. It follows the same exact format.
Cool.
Same deal with the case files. It's the same exact thing. So, but it's great. I'm having a great time with it. I'm enjoying it. And aside from a little bit more Halos, I'm credit farming a little bit.
Are you really? Are you doing the firefight with all the grunts?
I haven't done that yet. I did the.
We gotta do that one day.
I did the. Yeah, we do. I did the Oni, the sword base, 20,000 credit exploit. I did that one.
Which one's that?
On the Oni sword base, it's the level. What is it? The second or the third?
It's
level.
Like a third level, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, the third level. You run right through it, right through the very beginning. You walk along the wall, and when you get the target locator,
yeah,
you run as far back as you can, and it'll save automatically. And the second it saves, you want to fire the target locator toward all the elites and the grunts that you just ran past, and it gives you like like a Killtastrophe or something, whatever it's called, a Killtastrophe.
Oh, yeah.
And then you revert to last save, and you do it again.
And do it again.
Revert to last save, do it again, and it, you know, accumulates all those credits all in one.
I didn't know that.
But the commendations, the different, like, the different layered accommodations, they will get to a point where you're not getting very much off of them. So it starts to stop being very lucrative for you.
I hear you. Yeah, it kind of scales down.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about Reach. Might as well get into my part of Reach I was going to talk about now. Again, Reach Around Sundays was successful. Travis, where were you, buddy? I know. Actually, there's a Saints game on that night, wasn't there?
No, the Saints game was that day, and from the outcome of that game, I was not in the mood to play video games or be social at all.
I hear you. But I was going to mention, apparently, I haven't run into this because I don't play too much matchmaking, per se, but apparently Reach has a built-in feature, whereas, like, people always complain about, like, random people, like, just causing problems and swearing and questioning everyone's sexuality and making racist jokes or whatnot. Apparently, Reach has a feature where if somebody is muted a certain amount of times, it automatically mutes them when they go into any game.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool, but I don't know if there's any way to confirm that, because I don't know how you even test that out. But basically, realize this guy's been muted, like, X number of times, like, today or in this week. So, for the next few games, he's automatically muted. So,
and then you have to unmute him if you want to actually hear what he says?
Exactly. So, basically, he'll
It's like the smart forums where people, like, say that this is not helpful, and eventually it just doesn't show it to anybody unless they ask for it.
Exactly. So, basically, like, this guy will be probably going off or doing whatever, and he thinks he's saying shit, but no one in the room can hear him. Except for,
props
like, a party.
To Bungie for that
shit. That is pretty cool. That is actually, like, true. That's just something I heard on another podcast. Like, that is pretty freaking cool.
I'd like to get confirmation of that. That would be...
Yeah. I don't know how we'd even... I guess it has to be on the Bungie forums now, for sure. Somewhere, someone's got to be able to confirm that. But or maybe they've been public about it. I don't know.
Right.
But that's pretty cool. I like that.
I agree.
It's like the douchebag mute button. That's pretty cool. Hey, you don't even have to hit yourself.
Can I say one thing that I did forget?
No.
Oh, thanks. The new Xbox update. I signed up.
Oh, did you try it?
That's right. I forgot you tried it.
Yeah, and I'm doing.
I have to say, I thought that was hilarious the other night when you're like, "Oh, I was gonna play some Dead Rising 2, but oh my god, I got the new dashboard update." And then I was like, really, Dead Rising?
Because that's so much more interesting than playing a game.
Exactly.
Well, it is interesting, and I gotta say, I do like the update. There's nothing huge about the update. That's, I mean, probably the two biggest things are the inclusion of ESPN and
which I won't even get.
Probably the search feature for Netflix, which is huge.
I won't have that. Oh, yeah, I will have that.
Yeah, you should have it. Actually, I think you can search. Someone can probably correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you can search on the Wii application and the PlayStation application.
You can definitely search on the PlayStation one, because that's what I've been using. Yeah.
So now the Xbox has finally caught up to the time.
So they didn't have a search one for that?
No. Never had.
Because the PSN one doesn't have an instant queue, which I see a lot of people using that on Xbox, and that seems pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do they have an instant queue on the PSN one or no?
Yeah, there has to. That's like your main list of things that you've looked for and you want to keep. So.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that then, because I just go through and I'm like, I want to watch this, and I watch it.
There's not a list of things that say, like, instant queue, new release movies, new release TV shows.
No, there's nothing instant queue at all, and it's like, there's nothing like, I can't queue up things and be like,
you know,
I want to watch these.
It's that, like, makes sense. You're going to have an instant queue soon, and your reason you don't have it now is because you've never had Netflix. See, the reason I had an instant queue was because I had Netflix before, you know, we got it on the Xbox, you know, for streaming. I had a queue set up. So when we set up that, it's like, okay, well, here are the list of movies you can do instantly. And I started that.
Okay.
Since you don't officially have Netflix, like, because right now you're just getting it for free.
It's a free trial.
Once you actually sign up for it, you're going to have a bigger list of movies to choose from. And once you start saving those movies to your instant queue, then that option should be able to pop up on your PlayStation Netflix. So you will get it.
So it does exist then. So it's just like a.
Just not for Canadians yet.
But
you will get it.
Fuck Canadians. That's why. I hate those guys.
You'll have it soon, buddy. Patience.
I know.
But the main changes, the Xbox for the Xbox update, they a lot of little things, like there's a new font that they use for everything. It's a little I don't know. It's just fresher and clearer. The pop-up windows, aesthetically, they're just simpler. Like, they're more like square simple boxes, and they use base simple colors like white and dark blue and everything. So they kind of get away from that, that dark bluish, grayish blue tint. And they go ahead.
Repeat was saying that the white is blinding. It's so white. Now, is that something that, like... Go ahead.
No, it's very white. It's not blinding. It doesn't, like... I don't, like, cover my eyes or something when I see it.
Well, yeah, it's, well, yeah, it's probably being a little bit... Yeah.
Maybe, but it, I like it. I don't know. It just kind of looks kind of cool.
The clean.
Yeah, it's very clean. But especially with the new font mixed in together, it looks really, really good. Of course, like everybody heard, they changed the way the avatars looked a little bit. I don't see too much different from the avatars, except for the fact they seemed a little more anatomically correct, I guess. Like, their arms seem, like, more in nature.
So they have bulges?
Okay.
bulges?
Sorry.
I got to ask, because I heard that if you download the beta for the, I guess that's technically what you're in, is the beta for this, the NXT or whatever, that you can't voice chat with anyone else who doesn't have it.
Not only can I not voice chat to people who don't have it, I also can't wear any of my clothes that I bought or unlocked in game. I can't
for the avatar set.
Yeah, I'm wearing just normal clothes that come with it. So yeah,
wow. Right, so can you disable it when you want to?
Nope.
Really?
Cannot talk to anybody. And in Dead Rising 2, I can play co-op. I cannot play. I'm sorry. No, this is actually in Halo and in Dead Rising. Yeah. I can play co-op. I cannot play competitive right now. That was last night. Now, an update happened today, and I haven't tried it out yet.
They might have fixed it.
They may have fixed it, but there has been an update every day.
Is this just party chat, or is it like if you just go into a game, you can't talk to people?
I haven't tried that out, but of course, there's a disclaimer right when I sign up that says, by accepting this beta, you're knowing well off that you cannot talk to anyone who is not doing this beta as well.
I'm like, okay, but you can always just like delete it if you wanted to, right?
I don't think so.
Actually, I don't know how you delete a dashboard update.
Yeah, it's just an update.
Wow.
It's a set update. So.
That sounds awesome.
Then I would definitely not do that knowing that right now, because I use party chat all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, are the blades back? Is the new Xbox experience gone?
What do you mean the blades?
Are the blades back?
The old
blades.
The old
Xbox experience gone?
No.
I like the NXE way better.
Then I don't care.
No, yeah. That's gone.
I don't even use the NXE. I just hit the button, bring up the blades, and I use those because it's just like there's too much trash.
Right. Yeah. Well, you'll see the new blinding white.
the blinding. Oh my god.
So, but the other new thing, like I said, the Netflix search engine is a welcome addition.
I can't believe they don't have a search engine in there, because that's The problem is with the Canadian search engine on PSN is the fact that nothing is there. Everything shows up, and it's like, oh, not available. Oh, not available. Because Canada sucks.
I noticed that there's a lot of things that say DVD only. It doesn't restrict it to just like I can search for "Get Him to the Greek," and I just bought
that the other day. By the way, is it good?
I haven't seen it yet. I don't know. It's neither not instant.
I'm going to check it out. But,
it's not available. I can't tell you.
You know, the worst thing about Netflix is like I've had the same disc from Netflix for literally probably about 3-4 months now.
Really?
If not more.
You need to watch that shit, yo.
Like the actual DVD, like an actual movie?
Yeah, like the Blu-ray. I've actually had it in my possession for like 4 months and I haven't watched it yet.
What movie?
Underworld Rise of the Lycans.
Oh, I haven't even seen that yet. Is that good?
Well, Black Hawk
Down,
awesome.
I kind of like the other ones.
Apparently, Kate Beckinsale's coming back for 4, the fourth movie.
That's good because she's hot and she made it.
Yeah, exactly. I ordered the Wii disc because you can get it in streaming in Canada and the Wii right away too. And I don't even know why I did that because it doesn't even output. And like, because Netflix doesn't actually do true HD, obviously, right? It just kind of...
Streaming, I've seen it do...
It does close to, but I wouldn't say
I've seen it do 720.
Like, I've seen it do streaming 720.
Yeah, if you
native?
Watch...
Really?
No, yeah. If you watch Lost in high def, it looks sexy.
I would, but I'm sorry, they don't have Lost on there.
Mad Men, I bet that looks great.
Oh, Mad Men does look good, but there's no difference. It doesn't say, like, Mad Men HD or anything like that. You just fucking order it. But I'm thinking, like, on the Wii, ours doesn't. It just says Mad Men. You just order it. And it does look, it's 16:9, whatever. It looks kind of cool. Looks decent. I wouldn't say it looks as crisp as watching a DVD or a Blu-ray by any means.
No.
But a lot of stuff I realize when I do stream it, it's like it's by what is it? 4 by 4.
3.
Is
it 480p? Oh, 4 by 3.
Yeah, 4 by 3. I don't really know what the actual resolution is. Yeah, exactly. But there's no differential. There's nothing says like HD versus standard def. And my thing is like on the Wii, obviously it's not going to be HD because it can't output HD, right?
No.
No?
Right. It won't.
Pretty sure that is.
Oh, okay, no, it's 1K, yeah, yeah. So yeah. I'm like, I don't even know why I got the disc. I'm just going to have it and just be like, oh, just to say, okay, whatever, here it is.
Yeah, but whatever. The Wii Netflix, it's good enough if you don't have anything else. But if you have any, if you have one of the other, like if you have the PlayStation, if you have the Xbox, there's no comparison whatsoever.
Yeah, so, that.
But that's it. I mean,
I still just use it on my TiVo now.
And then aside from ESPN edition, I mean, that's cool. It's great. You can watch SportsCenter live. You can watch live baseball games as they're happening. You can watch replays of baseball games. If you miss the game, you can go back and watch it on demand. You can do the same with college basketball.
That's kind of cool.
College football. It is very, very cool. The only thing is that the NFL has a license with someone else, and they can't have that. And there's
so you can't have, and there's no NFL on it at all?
No games. Like if SportsCenter has highlights or anything like that,
that's fine.
They can
That'll
show
be on there.
That. But I mean, aside no from just games. Highlights or interviews, they can't have any games. Which
I don't think that's going to come to Canada at all, but I kind of hope it would because I'm sure NBA would be on there.
And for football, aside from college football, they actually feature the Canadian Football League. So it's funny that they would not put that in.
That is pretty funny.
So.
It would have to sign something with I'm not going to get into it, but TSN is the big sports network here, and they're kind of affiliated with ESPN and whatever. Yeah. But
the only way that I would be truly, truly hyped about ESPN is A, if they brought the NFL to it, which they will not because DirecTV and them, they're going to throw too much money at the NFL. That and if I were a huge, huge baseball fan, if I was big on Major League Baseball, I
then
would
do it in a second.
Because you can get any game that is on at any time.
Well, hey, guess what? Too bad baseball sucks.
I know, right? Yeah. So, anyway. But anyway, that's the Xbox update. It's cool. It's cool. I'd like to see what else they're going to do with it. But
when does it actually hit? Probably like November.
November.
It's when it all launches because that's the reason, main reason they're doing it, right?
Yeah. I would think so. Yeah, because there's a lot of Kinect tutorials in there. A lot of them. And it was like, let us show you how to use your menus via Kinect. And I'm looking at the tutorial and watching how it works. I'm like, oh my God, that sounds terrible. Like, why would you not want to use it? Well, obviously you wave your hand in front of certain things. Like your hand is the cursor and you leave it on there and kind of like push your hand forward and you have to sit it there for like 3 seconds. And then
it's ridiculous. Why don't I just hold a controller?
Why don't I just click a button? It takes a fraction of a second, so I don't know.
Because with Kinect, your body is the controller.
Was that Peter Molyneux?
No, it wasn't. That was just a stupid voice. That's all.
Oh, okay.
They actually had like posters in the bathrooms at E3 that said, "With Kinect, your body is the controller." I'm like, well, that is the most retarded thing in the world.
As retarded as it sounds, dude, they're putting so much money within marketing. Like my parents know about Kinect. Like, that's how sad it is. It's like, they know about Kinect already, and there hasn't even been any public advertising yet. I'm like, fuck. In terms of, like...
Well, yeah, because they put it on, like, they put it on, like, early morning television.
Oh, exactly.
Like that.
Dude,
they know what to do.
Yeah.
They're doing what the Wii did. The Wii was on Good Morning America.
And all that kind of shit.
And look at the move. In my opinion, in my humble opinion...
That was like a silent launch, almost.
Yeah. Like, have you seen... One in cap with Move being demonstrated on it. One.
I haven't seen a single commercial for Move.
I've seen
the Kevin Butler commercials online.
I've seen those on TV.
Yeah, I've seen them on TV, but I mean, the Wii had in caps. Every next gen or current gen console had in caps. Why is Sony not buying this in cap space to show off their product? You're saying this is the. This is how motion control gaming is supposed to be done. We have the technology. This is how it's supposed to be done. They're saying this is it, and they're not advertising it anywhere except for TV. You got to put that shit in the stores, man. You got to put that shit in the gamers' hands, because even though I would advocate Move before anything, just in terms of
the precise stuff, I
have not picked it up, and I'm kind of hyped for it, and I still haven't picked it up, because why? I need to play it first.
I had it for an hour and a half.
Peer pressure.
That's the first time peer pressure got me into bringing something back and like doing the right thing. Usually peer pressure gets me in shit.
That's funny.
Are we talking about games? What's going on?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, we were talking about games.
Who's up?
Are we still on Travis? Travis, are you done?
I've been done. That's
what we talked for 20 minutes about a fucking Xbox update. Can we move on with some of the games?
And went to move and then all this other bullshit.
Jeff, what are you playing, buddy?
Dude, I tried out Blade Kitten, even though you said that it probably wouldn't be up my alley. I didn't mind the art style. It was it's kind of cutesy and kind of it played decently. I just got bored with it within like 5 minutes. I was like,
you didn't think it was floaty?
It was definitely floaty, but it wasn't realistic floaty, which I don't mind not realistic floaty when in a platformer. It's like Mario 2. Like, everyone liked to use Princess because she was like, because she'd float. Remember that shit?
You just got the demo,
but
right?
I think that was different.
Yeah, it was a little bit different. It was a little bit floaty, but at least it looked decent, played okay, but I just felt the combat was kind of pointless. It's just like you mash on a button until someone's dead, and there wasn't much challenge. But yeah, no, I tried it out just for the hell of it. I wouldn't recommend it. It's not a definite buy, but the good thing about, if you want to try an Xbox Live Arcade game, you can download the trial. Another trial I downloaded was Hydrophobia, which is actually pretty high.
What is that?
I can't remember who the hell made it. It's a third-person adventure game. It looks really good. Like, I might, a little bit of hyperbole, I wouldn't say, if it was a launch 360 game or PS3 game, you'd kind of be impressed by it. Just kind of like the water effects are kind of cool and lighting and whatnot. There's a lot of fire and water and stuff. Basically, I didn't get the gist of the whole story because I personally didn't care. I was trying it before work. I'm like, I'm just going to give this a try. It's a third person. You're basically working for some company. You go down an elevator. Someone blows the elevator. You fall down. It's flooding, all sorts of, fires everywhere. And it's basically like a platformer mixed with an adventure game. But not the adventure game. Like, so far, there's been no combat at all in the trial, at least that I got to. You're basically just navigating your way through environments and solving minor puzzles. And nothing was, bad about it, but I did die a few times that I thought were, cheap, I guess. Not really cheap, but, when you're playing a game where there's fire, usually if you run into that fire by accident, it's like it gives you a warning. Like, you're being hurt right now. Back the fuck up. It's a one-hit kill.
Huh.
It's like, you're done. And then it reloads a checkpoint. You gotta do it again.
So in the trial at all, though, there's zero combat?
I did not fight a single thing. But I didn't get through the entire trial because, like I said, I downloaded it... I guess it was yesterday I tried it. I downloaded it whenever it came out, so I guess it would have been yesterday morning. And then I tried it before I went to work, and I didn't get through the entire thing. I probably played it for about 15 minutes. I know it doesn't sound like a long time, but when you're doing a trial, that's a pretty long trial.
Yeah.
I did not fight a single thing.
But did you finish it?
No, I didn't get through the trial. It was just all picking up items, kind of platforming kind of thing, and... that's about it. Well, just going through the levels. And...
The reason I asked that though is because I don't remember if it was a written review. I checked up on it because I was interested in this. Like, some of the screens, at least
it looks good.
Yeah, it looks really good. So the main criticism was the fact: A, the game does get kind of stale as you go along, but B, the combat was one of the main criticisms, seeing that you only get one weapon, which is this handgun, and it doesn't even have bullets; it's a stun gun. And you shoot a guy, it stuns him for a second, and then he's back at you. And then but if you hit him twice, he gets stunned more and more, and you can get him to the point where you stun him enough to where he drops down to the ground. You just keep on shooting him to where he drowns underwater.
And well, that sounds ridiculous.
Where that starts off being kind of cool, after about four or five guys, it's completely you're tired of it by then. Like, you're just done. It gets kind of monotonous. Because you're doing the same thing over and over again, and and this is episodic.
Yeah, it is.
So hopefully in other episodes we get other weapons, but how much
and hopefully the whole thing isn't based on water, because what are some of the biggest pet peeves people have about video games are water levels. And we're not talking Bioshock, like fucking water in the background, water dripping everywhere, which this has a lot of. There was certain times where you're actually literally underwater swimming, and I got the camera's not the greatest, and I'd get turned around and be going the wrong way, where I just came from and stuff. And
there's a lot of games where the biggest flaw, especially platformers, where the biggest flaw is underwater.
Yeah,
Sonic is a perfect example. The
like original 2D side scrolling Sonic games.
Slows you the fuck down, and you're just
slows
like,
you the fuck down, and you have to find those fucking bubbles and stuff like that. Yeah. And even in like Mario Galaxy, it's like one of the only complaints that I have about that game is that you know, the swimming sucks.
And Zelda says hi too.
Well, yeah, pretty much. That being said, I went back and played a little bit more Mario Galaxy 2. Played like a level 2.
Sorry, buddy.
I'm now up to like 41 stars, I think, which isn't that many, but whatever. Slowly getting through it. I have a hard time sticking to my Wii. Like I played a little bit of Metroid Other M as well, and then for about 10 minutes, I was like, okay, I'm done. And then moved on to Reach, which we already talked about. I played Street Fighter 4 for the Super Street Fighter 4 for the first time in like over a month yesterday, which is kind of fun.
Jason was really disappointed in you.
He hadn't played for a while either, but I hooked up. It was me, Anitek, Silent, Hidoshura, and Kill9. We got into a room, and it was okay for a while, and then my internet's been screwed, and I think pretty sure it's my router, so I'm going to take it back and get a new one, because it's kind of old. It's like 2 years old, and I think that's what's really causing the problems, because anything that's hardwired is fine. Anything that's wireless will not hold a connection for more than, like, I don't know, like 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And for some reason, like Reach worked last Sunday, and it did not drop, but I don't know, everything else has been screwing up.
Right.
But I did download Mass Effect 2, Lair of the Shadow Broker.
Nice.
Talk to me.
Yeah, because Travis and Scott from the Goo were, like, bigging it up. I liked it. It's really short. I think when people say it's 3 hours, that's being generous. I beat it in two sittings, and I'm guessing, well, maybe about 2 hours, maybe two and a half hours, I think.
Took me to beat it. The 3 hours that I'm speaking of also included the stuff you can do
afterwards,
the boss is done. That's what I was
talking about. Okay.
Because there's a lot of stuff to look at and read, and I counted that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's definitely stuff you can, like the stuff you can buy and like the intel stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff, and I can definitely see what Travis is talking about where he said that one, this kind of felt like it should have been in the main game, and two, how the hell are they going to incorporate this into Mass Effect 3? Because it is a pretty huge thing. Like, I don't want to get like bloated from Washington being like, oh my god, your mind's going to be blown, but if you played Mass Effect 1, you played Mass Effect 2, and we'll just say like Liara is the focus of Lair of the Shadow Broker, something happens where without spoiling it, that
it changes the game.
It just like, changes the game. It changes exactly. Like you cannot go from Mass Effect 2 to Mass Effect 3, and whether or not they, without spoiling anything, that they can either write her out entirely, which wouldn't make sense, and if they did tie her in with how she, what like she is at the end of Shadow Broker, it just wouldn't make sense for people who didn't play that DLC.
Yeah, Chris, you need to get into it, because if you get into Mass Effect 3 and you see what happened, you're going to be like, when did this happen? And it's like,
yeah,
you even
exactly.
telling me.
And I could see they might cheap it out and be like, they might have like a little thing where you talk to her and she's like, oh, this is what happened, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, that's not, no.
But you're going to miss out on the reveal. You're gonna
exactly,
miss
the whole
like,
thing reveal.
Like,
oh, yeah.
I got to say, the last boss in the DLC,
Pretty awesome.
I personally liked it way better than the last boss of the game.
That was my favorite. That was my favorite, probably big battle in entire of Mass Effect 1 or 2.
Yeah, it was the best battle. It was really, really cool.
Yeah, sure. I know I need to get it.
Definitely cool. And, dude, there's a little part. It's short, but there's, like, a cab chase scene, which I love.
Oh, that was great.
I thought that was awesome. I thought it controlled really well, and the pacing of it was really freaking cool, and the banter going on while you're doing it was awesome, and
I really felt that it's something they wanted to put in the main game, but they weren't quite prepared to put it in there yet.
Yeah,
that just seemed complete and something that was not made from scratch for this DLC.
Exactly, because
they were holding on to that.
Reading other reviews, other DLC just seems like stuff like reused assets. Like everything you go to in this is not something you've seen before in Mass Effect 2. Like it's all new environments and everything, and even some new species and stuff that you don't see in Mass Effect 2. And you know what? This is a definite recommend, 100%. If you have Mass Effect 2. Like, you need to download this. Mm-hmm. If you're going to buy one piece of DLC this year, download this.
Yep.
It's pretty damn awesome. And it got me right back into playing Mass Effect. I played for right after that, hit some extra stuff just to clean some stuff up, and then I went right back to my Evil playthrough with my secondary character, played and got a couple characters in my party, and that game is so good. I forgot, that came out in, January, February?
I think it was January.
Was it January?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like thinking, like, it's more. I went back. That is such a good game. And yeah. People with PS3s, buy this game when it comes out if you only have PS3.
I'm struggling.
Between
this and Red Dead, I am really struggling. Yeah. What's my game of the year? It's going to be tough. It's going to be a toss-up. I don't know.
Yeah, awesome. Like, for sure, they're both fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's it.
Still a lot of good games coming out, guys.
Yeah, there's some good ones.
No, for sure. We're not even close to done, man. It's only fucking October.
There's like 6 games I want to come out and I want to get that come out in October.
Yeah.
It's crazy how many good games
it
are coming out.
It is definitely crazy.
Well, in some of those good games... Oh, Jeff, are you done?
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, I'm done.
Because in some of those good games that are coming out, Chris, you got a taste of one of those games, right?
Yes, I did. I played the demo for Castlevania, but... You know, because I don't know if it was Konami or Sony or whoever the fuck it was that can't seem to figure out how to get a demo on the fucking US PSN store. I downloaded the one in Europe. But it's the same. It was the same E3 demo that I played there. And, you know, a lot of people out there are saying that the combat is very much like God of War. That is true. It's also like Lament of Innocence. If you've ever played that one that came out. On the PS2 is the first 3D Castlevania on the PS2. So if you're familiar with that game, you will be familiar with this one. If you're familiar with the combat in God of War, you will be familiar with the combat in this for the most part. Instead of having like a light and a heavy attack, it's more of like a direct and like a wide attack. So the direct attack will attack right in front of you, and the wide attack is like an area of effect attack where it can hit like several guys at one time.
That sounds a lot like God of War.
To an extent, yeah. All the cannon sub weapons are there. You start out with a dagger, which is extremely powerful in this one. It's like the starting wolves that come out. I mean, one dagger will kill it, and you know it takes probably like 4 or 5 hits with the whip. And yeah, I mean that's pretty much it. It's hard to go into more detail than that. You know, if you've played Lament of Innocence, this will feel very familiar because most of it. A lot of the combat feels very similar.
In Lemon Innocence, though, were you still like slashing like candles and stuff to drop hearts and stuff like that? Items.
I'm trying to remember. I mean, they did have like the gold bags and stuff like that, and but I honestly I can't remember if you actually went after candles. And that is one thing that is not that I have not seen yet in Lords of Shadow.
It's probably not in there. But that being said, like a lot of the reviews are out now. I mean, it's going to be out tomorrow by the time people hear this. I have no problems with people saying that it doesn't really have anything to do with Castlevania. It's just more so like a character action game, which I know, Chris, he's like, yeah, Lemon Innocence was one of the first games to do this. Reading all the reviews, it sounds like it's easy to get lost, and it's not really good at telling you where to go. And that kind of scares me for a linear game.
They said that some of the stages are kind of open area and they're not really good about directing you. And they said like a map would basic overhead map would help
or something.
That's a concern for me. I mean, so far, I mean, I'll be honest with you. So far, I think the most informative review that I've seen out there is the game trailers one. And the game trailers review, they gave it a 7.9, which is not at all a bad score. You know, it's not a bad score at all. But it's not like the nines and stuff like that that some other magazines were giving it. But they were very descriptive about what they didn't like about the game. They were talking about how it didn't really give you much direction in the open areas, how some of the platforming was kind of iffy, and how it didn't feel like it was well-paced. And I think part of the pacing is because of the lack of direction.
I think it's because it's the fact that it's 20 freaking hours.
Well, and I think that's part of it, but I think the lack of direction is what causes it.
Adds to that,
to be mispaced.
But,
you know, from the demo, I mean, the combat is solid. There's quick time events in it, but I mean, it's like, it's what you push and hold one button and he does the quick time event.
I did see some videos for the first time with like the Shadow of Colossus type bosses, which do look pretty freaking cool.
I didn't even notice that until I saw those videos and
until I saw the game trailer's review. I was like, what? I'm like, that's pretty, because everyone wants a freaking new Shadow of the Colossus. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
And the funny thing is with that video, cause that was the video with narration, right? The one that,
yeah.
Okay. Well, in that video, he's like, and you will you will come across these titans, numerous titans, where to try to take them down, you need to find ways. Now, sometimes it may take a couple of chances to learn how to scale these beasts, but when you do, you'll eventually take them down. And I'm sitting here, it's like, so pretty much, it's like pretty much a trial and error thing, and I'm just going to keep on getting pissed off until I want to throw my controller across the wall.
The reviews do say it's basically memorization.
In some cases, yeah.
Yeah, they basically say once you get to a certain point, you just got to memorize what buttons to hold, and then you go to the next part and memorize what buttons to hold. And
those guys are optional, right? Because I don't know.
I
doubt it. I highly doubt it. That's probably like a big set piece. I probably want to show. There's probably one of those in like the first like hour of the game, just to be like, look what we can do.
I mean,
God of War same way. First level of God of War is usually always the best.
Yeah, that is true.
The first boss battle.
But
I'm interested, though, man. I'm still keeping. I am
cautiously optimistic. You know, it's like I've the past 3D Castlevanias have not been fantastic. That's for sure.
No.
Lament was pretty good. Curse was.
Order of Ecclesia? You didn't like Order of Ecclesia?
I said the 3D.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah, Order of Ecclesia was a 2D game that was fantastic.
Yes.
But yeah, Lament was really was pretty good. You know, I liked it, but Curse of Darkness didn't really hold my interest that much. I don't even really put the N64 Castlevanias in the same group. I don't even they don't exist as far as I'm concerned.
They're terrible.
They're horrible. Yeah. But you know, from the demo, I mean, this is easily going to be the best of the 3D Castlevanias. So I guess. My main concern is where they're going to go with the story, because they're talking about how it's going to be a reboot. And I'm wondering how they're going to do that. So I'm not as concerned about this title. I'm more concerned about what direction they're going to take after this title. So we'll see what happens.
I hope they don't stick to 3D all the time. I'm still waiting for that hand-drawn, high-res, HD, 2D one that everyone's...
I don't even need that, man. I just want, like, you know, do it the way... Shadow Complex did it. I'm fine with that.
That's what I'm saying, but with high-res hand-drawn...
I don't know, man. Awesome, dude. Don't do something like hand-drawn... Yeah, hand-drawn stuff would look really, really good. It's like, make it really kind of, like, artistic.
Exactly. I'm not artistic.
Yeah, but like, yeah, like...
Even cel-shading, whatever. What the fuck you can do to make it look, you know...
I'm not saying they shouldn't do that. I'm just saying I'll take that, or I'll just take Shadow Complex. You know, I'm fine with that,
too. Yeah, I hear you.
But yeah, so I'm still very much looking forward to it. So my pre-order is still in, and I will get it on Tuesday.
Good stuff.
I've been playing more Phantasy Star Portable. You know, we got together at Jason's house again Saturday and played a few missions. That was fun. And more Valkyria Chronicles, too. I just keep pounding away at that game. Hopefully, I'll eventually beat it. I think I'm on like Chapter 6 now. That game seems like it's going to take me forever. But
Chapter 6? And you feel like it's taking forever?
Yeah, Chapter 6 of 12. And I've put 40 hours into this game right now.
Holy crap, dude. You doing like every little side mission, picking up
every
banana
side
and coin on your way through there?
I am doing every side mission, yes. Every time a mission pops up, I do it. So,
I wish I had that patience, man. I beat so many more games.
But that is it for me. So I think we can move on to some news.
There's some news this week, man.
I think there is. We should get rid of small shit first before we get to the big shit.
The big shit? Okay, what's some small shit first? Well, you know what? NBA, I know we go Chris, the sports ball talk. I talked about NBA Elite, the demo that released like last week.
Okay, I'm gonna tell me when we're done.
The way
it had some issues. Yeah,
it had some issues. I know I wasn't really a big fan. I was like, the controls are definitely weird. And apparently, this is some big glitch where Andrew Bynum from the Lakers just stands in the middle of the court like Jesus. And apparently, that's like a big thing now on the internets. You can find a bunch of videos and pictures of that.
Yeah.
EA is delaying it. They said it's no longer coming out tomorrow, which is crazy because the demo came out 2 weeks before release date, which usually means the game has already gone gold by that point.
Yeah.
And they said, nope, we're holding out. We're not releasing it. The good news about this is NBA Jam for PS3 and 360 is now a standalone product. You don't have to buy NBA Elite to get it, which I thought was bullshit to begin with.
That's a
cheesy ass way to you know, get people to buy your game.
See, now I'm interested.
In what, NBA Jam?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. The Wii one, I think, comes out next week, but I think the other ones are going to come out in, like, November or something. But I think EA is pulling out. I don't think it's just being delayed. I'm actually thinking it's going to be canceled.
Really?
For this year. I think they're going to work on it for a year and release next year. It dies in not next year, like January, like next year NBA season.
Next season, yeah.
Yeah, because the thing with sports games is you got to release them right before the season starts, or people are hyped up. Like, here comes the season, let's do this, I need to buy my video game. And 2K is going to hit next week or tomorrow, and everyone's going to buy that because it's going to be the only option. And then if EA throws this out in like November, December, no one's really going to care. Especially when the live franchise has been on the decline for years, I think they're just going to pull it and be like, you know what, they're going to do what like 2K did with their hockey a while ago, which didn't help them, by the way. It just canceled it for a year and bring it out like the following year. So I don't know. It makes me happy because now I have no pressure at all on what basketball game to buy. I was going to go 2K anyway, but you know. Kind of shitty for people who, I guess, like the EA games for some reason.
I feel you. I mean, at first when you said that, I was like, what, really? But, you know, now that I got a chance to really stew in the thought, I mean, yeah, it does sound like that. Yeah, because if your game does not come out, like you said, a month, at least a month, you know, before the season starts, what's the point in releasing it? Like, it's...
The hype's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. And everybody's already playing with Jordan on 2K11.
Exactly.
Everybody's,
yeah.
You know. It is cool we do get NBA Jam back, I mean, in the high def.
Speaking of HD, you know, there's a really good game that was announced that they're going to make an HD version of. Did you guys hear about this?
Beyond.
Good and Evil.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a fantastic game. And you know what? I was originally saying, oh, I played it on PC recently. I don't really need to get it. Then I saw some screenshots and I'm like, oh,
it's pretty.
That game looks good.
Yeah, this ain't just like an up-res. This is like they're changing textures and shit.
Mm-hmm. It looks like it, awesome. That's pretty exciting. For those of you that haven't played Beyond Good and Evil, I highly suggest you download it when it
comes
out.
And Ubisoft. What the fuck? If you're going to do this, you know what? This might be a test case. See how many people download this, and that might depend whether or not they do Beyond Good and Evil 2.
I'll download it if that's the case. I don't care if I play it or not. I'll download it. $15, I'll pay that. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? It's worth it. It's a great game. One of the best games of the last gen, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, I would agree.
What else? Should we hit the big one?
Yeah, let's do that.
3DS.
3DS. We got some specs and pricing, didn't we?
We did, and a lot of trailers.
And a lot of trailers, yeah. There were a lot of games that they talked about, including things like Mega Man Legends 3, which, I mean, I never thought they would bring back the Mega Man Legends franchise.
That's the RPG, right?
No, it's the third-person one, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they have, you know, they talked a little bit about Street Fighter and how it's going to have this weird over-the-shoulder view.
Man, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, there's a video of it. It's really freaky. It's like an over the shoulder view of the character that you're playing.
That is really weird.
So it's
I was surprised at how good it looked though. It looked a little bit more kind of like softer, if that makes sense. Like not cartoony, but it just kind of looks a little bit different than the console versions. But it still looks really good. Really good as well.
I think the way they did Street Fighter 4, it lends itself well to reducing the polygon count.
Yeah, the art style is really...
Yeah, the art style really helps with that. And, you know, Dead or Alive looked good on PS2, so I'm not surprised that it looks good on the 3DS, you know? Because 3DS is about that range as far as, like, power is concerned.
Yeah, for sure. Price-wise, why don't you think? Well, let's put it this way. Nintendo has never released a console more than...
$200.
$200, ever.
Yep.
So what I'm thinking, you know, 3DS. We talked about this months ago.
Yeah, we figured it would be $200.
We figured it'd be $199.99 at the most, because we figured handheld. The Wii launched for $250. That's kind of, you know, a little bit different situation, but you know, it's handheld $199.
25,000 yen for the 3DS, which equates out to about $300.
Yeah,
but things in Japan.
Right, and usually in that case, it'll come over here and be $250, but, I mean, I'm not sure exactly, you know, how they'll handle it this time around.
They came out and said it would be between $250 and $300, which even at $250, it's not that I think that it's necessarily not worth it. I have to wait to see what games are out there and what the tech is like or whatever, but when they're setting their next handheld at the same price they launched their major console at, it just shows you how well they're doing and how many people are buying the DS and the Wii for them to be like, all right, we can do this.
They came out and said that. They came out and said, for the article. They came out and said the reason the 3DS is priced the way it is because it had such a positive reaction at E3.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Oh, they said that was one of the factors, yeah.
They don't even have to release any type of article for that to be blatantly obvious. They don't, they don't need an article. I mean,
it's rare that a company would admit that, though.
Well, look at
that's like Sony style when they released the PS3, or they suppressed the PS3.
Before we started recording, Chris brought up Apple in this situation. You got to look at them. I mean, they can release the iPad for $1,100 and say, "Hey, look what we got," and everybody's gonna buy the motherfucker. I mean, it doesn't. And of course, $1,100. I'm exaggerating. I'm exaggerating, but it was like what, $500, and it sold like hotcakes. That's the mentality that Nintendo knows. Like, they're just like, in the gaming space, they are Apple. In this situation, they are. They can make anything, and everybody's going to want to buy it.
See, I don't
know that price is going to go up, and they look at that and say, "Okay, well, let's just do it."
That's where I think they're wrong. I don't think they're over exaggerating or.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know how
they can do because. Go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say I don't know if this is going to change or not, but you guys know that Nintendo's stock actually dropped after the 3DS announcement, right?
Yeah, and I think because the public reaction probably, and that's not even public, that's just the game forums and people that follow everything are like, that's way too expensive.
Yeah.
And does Nintendo not realize that the reason that the Wii and the DS sold so friggin' well is because they market it towards audiences besides the core gamers, and look at, especially the handhelds, the DS as being a cheaper alternative to a console, and these same people, when they look at this being released for $300, that puts them at this point, that's more expensive than a PS3 and a 360.
Right.
They're going to be like, fuck that. Like, the DS launched for, I think it was 200 or 170 or something like that.
DS was like, yeah, it was something like that. It was like 180, 170, something like that.
Yeah, the barrier for entry for a casual gamer or someone like your parents that want to play Brain Age wasn't that bad. You throw in, like, let's say it was 170, you're almost doubling that, and you expect the same people to buy it? I don't think that's going to happen. I can't see it happening. I can't see my parents buying a 3DS.
Well, that's funny you say that, because of all the games that we've been seeing a lot of hardcore games.
Oh, hell yeah.
You're seeing, you know, of course you're going to have a big Mario game on there, but you have Kid Icarus, which is going to be a definite hardcore game.
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid,
Metal Gear
Street
Solid,
Fighter.
Which looks really, really, really,
Resident
really
Evil.
Cool. Resident Evil, all these games that are going to be hardcore games, they may be pushing the 3DS as the next, you know, their next hardcore. I mean, of course, there's going to be shovelware on there. You can't escape that. There's going to be the next Ubisoft Imagine game that's going to pop out, like, you know, Hair Braider or whatever. But, you're going to have that. But
well,
they're really pushing this towards the hardcore.
Even so, look at the reaction's been with the hardcore. Bullshit. The hardcore has been the most vocal, being like, it's the most expensive Nintendo console or handheld ever released.
Yeah.
And this is way too expensive. So if the hardcore is saying that with these hardcore games, the casual market is going to turn the other cheek and just be like, no, I'm happy with my DS.
Hardcore can bitch and whine all they want.
A lot of them will still
buy it. Going to buy it.
Yeah.
For $250, if it had a killer app, I would buy it. For $300, I won't.
For a killer app, something that's totally blew my mind, for sure.
For $300, I won't.
Then again, I said I wasn't going to buy the Move at all, ever, like, until there's something really good, and, you know, day one, I saw it in the shows.
But you returned it. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, no, true. But I wouldn't return a console.
I honestly have no qualms with spending $250 on a 3DS, even if that was not $300. We can have a conversation, but I would.
Yeah, $250 is not a problem.
Quickly and eagerly wait in line all night for a.
Knowing that you can buy another PS3 or a 360 for like the same price or cheaper.
I already have one. I don't have a 3DS.
And knowing that the PSP2 is going to be revealed soon, and it's going to be much more powerful.
And I don't think Sony's going to make the same mistake and overprice like the Go. The Go was, what, $250 when it came out?
Yeah.
And that bombed.
Now we'll be on the same page there. If, you know, when it comes time for the launch of the 3DS, if the PSP2 has been announced and it is more impressive, it is something that I would be more inclined to get. It looks like because when it all comes down to it, it's all about games. I'm not buying a 3DS for the 3DS. I want to buy it because of some cool games. And
are you buying it for the 3D technology?
No.
then why the hell would you pay $250 for it?
Because it's the next Nintendo handheld console, and I've never
had the same amount of power as like PSP.
I have never been
and
let
every
down.
Single game we've mentioned is the same game that you've already played.
This is their next generation. This is their next gen. This is where they're going forward with their next gen. I am happy with that because I have always been happy with my Nintendo portable console, so I definitely do want to get the next one.
True.
I would be more skeptical to get the next PSP because of the fact that there's good games, but
I wonder, because now you have the question, Travis. You said you'd wait in line day one to buy this for $250.
Yeah.
Every hardcore game that we listed, Resident Evil, Metal Gear, Street Fighter, all that stuff, are games you already played. Metal Gear is just Metal Gear Solid 3 in 3D. You said you weren't going to buy it for the 3D tech.
So you would spend
$250 to play Metal Gear.
I do not agree that it's not the same Metal Gear. They kind of completely redesigned Metal Gear 3.
It's Metal Gear 3 in 3D.
They completely redesigned it. Did you see the video? The way Metal Gear Solid 3 plays on the PlayStation 2, it plays completely differently. It's different camera, different gameplay. It's the same game, in a sense, or maybe spiritually it's the same game, but technically it's a different game.
So they build it from the ground up?
It's
probably the same engine.
It's the same engine, but in the same 3D space, but the way the game plays is completely different. It's actually more inclined to be like Peace Walker.
So it plays like a shmup?
Yeah, it plays like a shmup. Yeah.
MGS3 remix.
I don't know. Awesome. For $250 to $300, they need something like Chris said, something that I've... like a killer app. That's something I've never played before,
We said with the E3 shows, it's like I really don't care about the 3D that much. So it's more about the fact that I am now paying basically a DS with the PSP's power, you know. And then 6 months down the line, the PSP2 is going to come out, and it's going to be much more powerful than it is.
Like, if I do buy it, I'm buying it on the 3D hardware. I'm not going to lie; like, I think 3D is fucking cool, and if it actually works, that's the reason I would buy it. I'd be like, "Fuck yeah, I want to play Super Street Fighter in 3D." Like, why not? I know it's going to control terribly because there's only like a certain amount of buttons, but that's a different story. But my selling point would be the 3D graphics, and the second thing would be like a killer app.
Oh, it's not the ability to take your picture and then the 3DS will make your Mii for you?
Nah, I don't give a shit about that.
That is what I'm talking about, man.
Who gives a shit?
Who doesn't want that? Who's not clamoring for that?
You jolly a mustache, a marker, like on your forehead and see what happens?
Draw a penis on your face.
Bobby Kotick shows up.
Hey!
Ouch.
Oh, man.
Are we good?
Oh, there's one more thing. Microsoft might be thinking of buying the developers of the Second Life.
What?
Yeah, who
gives a shit? I don't.
And that's basically it.
I don't either. Microsoft buys another company. Who gives a shit? And it's the Second Life developers. Double who gives a shit.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's take a break then.
Let's do it. It's much needed.
Yes, we're going to come back, we're going to do some contest entries, and then we're going to do a new listener email and a new question of the week. So stay with us, we'll be right back.
You know, when I was a kid, I was a hardcore gamer. There wasn't a single game that I owned that I didn't beat, and I was good. Like, I could beat Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. One guy. But then the kids came and the responsibilities. I just didn't have the time or the motivation to keep up. My game backlog just kept growing and growing with each new release. I needed help. So I visited the Game Backlog Support Group on VG Evo. They helped me take control of my backlog.
The VG Evo Game Backlog Support Group is a non-profit organization helping gamers relieve their backlog troubles. Having a game backlog is a debilitating and embarrassing predicament. VG Evo is here to help.
I no longer have to lie about the video games I've played. I can finally say with confidence, yes, I have beat Devil May Cry. And you know what? Nero is a whiny bitch.
If you or someone you know is suffering from their game backlog, please contact www.vgevo.com.
And welcome back.
You welcome back.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. So, Indus Fest the movie.
Indus Fest?
We asked for some casting as well as some maybe plot ideas. So, Travis, why don't you take away? Give us some contest entries.
All right, I'll give us some contest entries. But first, our buddy Better Tomorrow, a.k.a. Jeff Wildman, he wasn't allowed to officially be a part of the contest because he's won like 8 times already. And, of course, he won last month as well. So, but he still wrote one in anyway. So I'm like, well, you know what? We should read it first, you know, kind of as a good icebreaker to introduce us into the contest. So he starts off, hey, gents. Great contest idea, one that I thought was ridiculously difficult to come up with anything for, but an idea eventually brewed up in the old noggin. So here goes. Set in the not-too-distant future, a renowned psychic warns the UN that an apocalypse is coming, because there's many. They don't have too much time to prepare. Taking a leap of faith, the world leaders take action and assemble experts from every important field, including doctors, scientists, military officials, and video game podcasters, in order to cryogenically freeze them so that they can be unthawed after the pending nuclear winter and the world can soon rebuild itself. Now middle-aged, 4 unsuspecting podcasters will be pulled out of retirement and forced into this program as the chosen ones to continue podcasting when the world resets. However, they will get more than they bargained for when not only will one of their own nearly perish due to a faulty cryogenic freezing pod and have his soul attached to a suit of armor. But due to rust production and cut costs, these unlikely heroes find themselves the only ones to survive the procedure. Now it's up to them and them alone to not only continue producing quality podcasts on a weekly basis.
Fucking Spartans.
As well as plan annual Endless Fest gatherings. But also rid a world of an overpopulation of mutant and radioactive abominations who plan to enslave and transform the remaining human population until there is nobody left. I know, right? There are podcasts to record and humanity to restore. It's starring Kevin Spacey as Indus Travis, Mickey Rourke as Indus Jeff, Bruce Willis as Indus Jason, and Tim Meadows as the voice of Indus Mega Chris.
Ooh, I'm the robotic one.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Interactive Distractions in association with VG Evo present a Nico Kusanagi production called The Indispensables.
And it's Rhodey.
That's awesome.
So thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Even though you can't win, it was a valiant, valiant effort. Actually, it's pretty funny. That guy is so damn funny. Yeah. I wish he was coming to hang.
He's got a talent.
Yeah, he does. He does.
But he's Canadian.
Coming in this fest, though.
What up?
What? So, anyway, going to the actual contestants, our first one is Sean Recupido. He writes in and says, hey guys, I thought I'd give this one shot since the last one I gave you was pretty pathetic. Ouch. This is a brief synopsis of who I would like to see play you guys and a general plot of the movie. Travis, Justin Long. He looks similar and kind of has the same swagger as Travis. Jeff. Jason Mewes. The dude is fucking hilarious as Jay from Jay and Silent Bob.
Nice.
Chris. William Shatner. If William Shatner got a tan and put on a wig, you guys might look similar.
And he was kidding.
Fuck you, sir. Fuck you very much.
Dude, what do you mean fuck you? It's William. It's the Shatner.
He's the Shat. The Shat man.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, he is the Shat.
Dude.
He's about as good as he acts.
That would be great. We got to get Shad on here for one show. And
Gary Busey,
welcome back.
To Interactive Distractions.
It's a website.
The plot of the movie, sick of all the Canadian jokes, a group of Canadian terrorists led by none other than Jeff Chorney, calling themselves Mooses Against Defamation. Or MAD for short. Sneak into the United States and steal every Rush CD in the country. The team of Travis and Chris, played by Justin Long and William Shatner, must drive across the country.
Who's Justin Long? I'm trying to picture.
He's the Mac. Like, I'm a Mac, I'm a PC. He's the Mac guy.
Oh, that dude. Okay, yeah. Hey,
cool. They must drive cross country to Vancouver and recover the CDs. This is a classic buddy cop comedy where the badass Chris must put up with the annoying Travis the entire drive across country. directed by none
Sounds
other.
Sounds like normal life for us,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Directed by none other than Kevin Smith, this movie is an instant classic.
I thought he was going to say Michael Bay, and there were going to be lots of explosions.
The next one is going to come from our buddy Fluffy. It's Fluffy Nuts. Fluffy. Chris, Jason, and Travis are having a few beers at the bar. Oh, I'm not going to do that the entire time. Anyway, and start talking about a new game, but this is overheard by some FBI agents
in the next
booth.
Fuck the mute button. Seriously, keep doing the Australian accent. That was awesome.
No, I'm not going to. They're talking about a new game, and it's overheard by the FBI agents in the next booth. After hearing a few phrases like, I beat a hooker until she disappeared, and when I get back home, I'm going to set off the nuke. This is all the evidence needed by the FBI agents, who then try to arrest the guys and lock them up for life. Chris, Jason, and Travis escape out the back and quickly call up their roadie, Nico, to get the minibus and pick up the girls and then come
the
grab
minibus.
Them so they can flee the country. On the run, the Indus crew escape the Canadia to meet up with Jeff and Tanya, but in the rush to get up there, everyone forgets their passports and got the locals involved for harboring fugitives. So now they're being chased by the FBI and the Mounties, and as you know, the Mounties answer to no one. Anyway, Now the crew is on the run again. 9 people in the back of a bus on the run from the law results in hilarious road trip shenanigans, including a fight with Chad Kroeger from Nickelback, a death nice. Race, stoned hitchhikers, and a bar full of scared Canadians when Chris accidentally turns off the lights. That's a nice homage to How I Met Your Mother.
That's right.
Yes, it is. Canadians aren't really afraid of the dark. Oh my God, your lights are
Well, everyone's afraid of the dark. Come on.
So the cast is Chris, Eric Bana. He says not very much Eric Bana from like the Incredible Hulk movie, but he said if you've seen the movie Chopper with Eric Bana in it, I have to agree that he definitely does look a little bit like Chris in the movie Chopper. Just look for pictures. It's kind of freaky. Jason would be played by Jason Segel. Funny, tall, a bit of goofiness, and maybe Ashton Kutcher as a backup plan.
Oh, God.
Travis would be played by Danny Strong, known as one of the nerds in Buffy. Crystal would be played by Zoe Deschanel.
Yes. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
It's hot.
Lisa will be played by Leslie Mann.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is either. Tanya will be played by Elizabeth Banks.
I don't know who that is either.
She was in Zack and Miri Make a Porno.
Oh, okay.
And then Megan will be played by Mila Kunis. Points. Nice. All right. And of course, Jeff, again, will be played by Jason Mewes, a.k.a. Jay from Jane.
Are you fucking for real?
Yes.
Two people.
I know.
That's, wow, really?
I'd have to say it. You're officially casted. No matter what else happens, that is who is playing.
He was actually in Zack and Mary Make a Porno, or Mary Make a Porno as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy.
And the next one comes from our buddy, the Jackal. Jackal. He says, the Italian stallion Sly Stallone plays the other Italian stallion and the grizzled old hand who's been everywhere and has seen far too much, Christopher Riccio. Jason Statham plays the big gun with the gung-ho attitude, Jeff Chorney. Ryan Reynolds plays the cocky rookie with a lot of big words and a lot of backing up to do, Travis Ball. Bruce Willis plays the street fighting man who's coming back for one last round, Jason A. Stryker.
Isn't that the second Bruce Willis for Jason?
Yes.
That's the second Bruce Willis for Jason.
Mickey Rourke plays the old sage behind the scenes, dispensing both wisdom and painful death, Nico Kusanagi. Together, ooh, they are the Indispensables. Join them as
that's
they...
funny, we got the two people with the same name here.
Yeah. Join them as they take a job from the mysterious Mr. Torgo, played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, to take down the dictators of the Nation of Goo, played by Brad Pitt, Johnny Depp, and George Clooney. But as they enter the war zone, they realize that they have been set up and have to form an uneasy alliance with Gorillas Only Older to take down the evil...
Gorillas Only Older.
To take down the evil Slay Station Nation. our last entry comes from Greg Schnibble. In a world teetering on the edge of darkness, four friends embark on an epic journey to save the world from chaos. Next summer, join Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Shino, Christian Bale as Unistrike, Jeremy Renner as Spoiler Alert, and Ryan Reynolds as the Canadian Flying Ace Goffy in Indisfest, The Beginning. A Southern Coyote film, this film has been rated NC-17 for plenty of nudity, graphic violence, and gratuitous ass-slapping. The full cast list of Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Shino, Christian Bale as Unistrike, Jeremy Renner as Spoiler Alert, Ryan Reynolds as Goffy, Jennifer Love Hewitt as Crystal, Yvonne Strahovski, Sarah from Chuck, as Lisa, Rachel McAdams as Megan, Scarlett Johansson as Tanya.
Ooh.
Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer.
Nice.
Paul Hogan as Repeat. For anyone who doesn't know, that's of course Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah.
Russell Crowe as Fluffy Nuts.
Nice.
Alan Tudyk as Kill Nine. Eliza Dushku as Kelly B. Jorge Garcia Hurley from Lost as Pin. Justin Long as the gay porn star from Zack and Miri as Scott Sauer. Brandon Routh as Adam. The kid from Jerry Maguire as Ace is High. And Liam Neeson as Liam.
I can see the film now. Jennifer Love Hewitt carrying around Liam Neeson.
Oddly, I dig that. I don't know why. It's fucking fresh. Anyway, Greg Schnabel as Greg Schnabel, a.k.a. Southern Coyote. And this may cost me the contest, but it is my movie, so deal with it. Allison Hannigan as Mrs. Schnabel, written and directed by Greg Schnabel.
Nice.
That was pretty awesome.
So you're an Allison Hannigan fan as well, huh?
Who's not? Come on.
That's true.
Is that all of them?
That is it, man. That is
because this is fucking tough.
This is tough.
Because there's only like four, and they're all fucking really good.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. In terms of casting, I think Southern Coyote wins with this one. Like,
yeah, I think so. Opinion,
like, you brought in like a whole bunch of people that regularly write in and stuff and other podcast networks, which is awesome.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm casting wise, I am down for that. Like, I do like Southern Coyotes.
For the plot other ones, wise, though,
plot wise,
who was the first person?
The first one was it was Sean Recupido, and
that was good.
I think Fluffy's was my favorite plot wise.
Was Fluffy's the second or third?
It was the second one.
Jackals was good too.
Yeah, Jackals was really good too. Wow.
Oh man. This is gonna be tough, guys. We might have to do it.
This is a really tough.
We
might need to break. Yeah, we might need to take a little break and talk about this a little bit.
I think we're gonna have to.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, I think it's kind of unanimous then, isn't it?
Kind of.
Sure.
We talked about it a little
bit.
It
was tough.
It's a tough one, but I think this one came down to how well casting was done.
Yeah.
And I think we all gave it to Mr. Southern Coyote.
Woo!
By a hair.
Yeah, it was close, man.
By a hair. I'm probably going to get kicked in the nuts by my wife because I didn't choose Fluffy because he picked Zoe for Crystal.
And, well, dude, when we first said we all had somebody pretty much different when we both went, like, who do you think should win? And then we had to discuss it. And, you know, came down to the wire.
Word.
Dude, if I had a lot of money, I'd be like, fuck it. They're all getting it.
And he also mentioned Allison Hannigan, so he gets props.
That's always a plus. Mm. That's always a plus.
So congratulations to you, Southern Coyote.
Congrats, Southern.
Thank you for the entry, and thank you for the entries to everybody. We appreciate it.
Yes.
We currently do not have a contest for October yet, but we will be getting that up hopefully around the same time as the show. Mm-hmm. Chances are it'll have something to do with Halloween. Who knows?
Probably.
But we will get that to you as soon as possible.
Yep.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
You want to do some new releases?
It's that time.
It is that time.
Okay, so there's quite a few interesting releases next week. First up, we have a DSiWare title, something I don't get to talk about nearly enough, and that's Shiantae's Risky Revenge. Now, this is obviously a sequel to the 2002 sort of cult classic Shiantae for the Game Boy Color. It looks pretty damn fantastic. So if you have a DSi, you're probably worth checking that one out.
Wish I had a DSi.
Also on the DS Normal this time, we have Final Fantasy, The Four Heroes of Light, which is kind of a more of an old school type of RPG. Looks pretty good. On the Game Feast, so if this is Xbox Live Arcade, we're getting Comic Jumper, The Adventures of Captain Smiley.
Yes, we are.
From Twisted Pixel, and it looks goddamn fantastic.
Yeah!
All right, so on to the PS3 and 360. They're both getting Castlevania Clone of War and Enslaved Odyssey to the West. So if you want your character action beat-em-ups, there you go. You got a couple of choices there. And for some reason, this week seems to be the let's re-release old stuff on
Play
the Wii. So we're getting NBA Jam, Haunted House, which is a kind of a remake, reboot, re-something or other of an Atari 2600 game from 1981, and Dragon's Lair Trilogy, which, unlike what its name suggests,
Peach
is
Dragon?
Only two Dragon's Lair games with Space Ace, rather than being Dragon's Lair 1 and 2 and 3D, which is probably a good thing. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. I really don't know if there's anything else that we should mention.
Don't.
Let's see. I know NBA 2K11 is coming out next week. Way of the Samurai 3 is apparently, I wonder if that's like the, Way of the Samurai 3 already came out, right? This might be the
Who Gives a Shit edition.
That's the Who Gives a Shit, yeah, okay. Yeah. That's fair enough.
Exactly.
But that's pretty much it. I mean, Def Jam Rap Star, who really gives a shit about that?
Shut
up, Travis.
Be, no,
some people
really
will. I mean,
fun,
that might be
dude.
Fun.
No, that shit might be fun as hell. I'm sorry. Yeah. That sounds fun.
Pro Bass Fishing 2010. That's pretty much it. Pro Stroke Golf. It's just, there's just really nothing else good coming out.
I'm trying to give you a beat so you can freestyle to the new releases, man.
I don't want to freestyle to the
Work
new releases.
Work with me. Work with me.
No.
I'm just trying to bring the funk back in the podcast.
PS2 is getting Ben 10 Ultimate Alien and NBA 2K11. PSP is getting the same titles. 360 is getting pretty much everything I said for PS3. Yeah, there you go. The Wii is getting a bunch of trash, and the DS is getting a bunch of other trash. So that's about it.
All right.
Seriously, everything on there's a ton of shovelware coming for both Wii and DS next week.
Pete of the week.
Pete of the week. Of the week. And fuck you, repeat. It's not Clone of War because Castlevania did it first. Just throwing that out there.
Didn't do it that well.
It didn't do it as well as God of War. No, it didn't.
Well, Comic Jumper for me.
Comic Jumper for me as well. I'm going to get NBA, but I'm not going to put NBA as a peak week to everybody because unless you like basketball, there's no way in hell you'd be getting that game.
I'm surprised neither of you are picking Enslaved.
I want to pick Enslaved. The only reason I'm not is because I like the demo. The demo was a really small vertical slice of the game.
So he's just going to keep his heart with the demo. He's not going to worry about the full retail. You know,
that's what I'm saying is the reason why I'm not is because a lot of people who have review copies of like other podcasts to listen to aren't talking too high or speaking too highly of it. That's
so
why I'm waiting for reviews to come out.
Okay. Oh,
yeah,
so you're waiting for more opinions. You're not. Okay. Because first it sounded like you were just, okay, you know what? I'm not going to play the game. I'm happy with the demo. That's what the
I like the demo, but I understand there's a point like they show you a certain point that they want to, and if that shit gets old really quick, then that, especially in the game's only going to be like 5 hours, which I expect it to be, I'm going to wait and see on reviews. In Castlevania, there's some things that scare me about it. Nothing to do with the whole God of War versus Castlevania bullshit. Just more of the getting lost and being frustrating kind of thing. So,
yeah.
Comic Jumper
I have a feeling
and NBA are the only games I'm definitely going to get.
All right. Cool. Well, Castlevania for me, obviously. So I already have
Rental
the
Rental of the Week is Enslaved. Let's say that.
Rental of the Week is Enslaved.
Rental of the Week, yes. I will agree with
if that. If I was going to buy another game next week, it would be, well, I would have to buy two because it would be Comic Jumper and Enslaved.
There you go.
All right, cool. Hey, Travis, let's do some emails.
All right. The first email comes from Jean-Francois Dutras, a.k.a. the Snakeozilla. He says, hey, guys, this is Snakeozilla. Just wanted to drop you guys a quick email. Whoop, whoop. I bought the new GTX 460 PC video card recently, and it came with Metro 2033 and Just Cause 2 also. I have to say that it was I was pleasantly surprised with both of these games. Just Cause 2 is just pure mayhem and runs absolutely gorgeous on my computer. Metro 2033 was actually one of those games that surprised me on how good it is. I know that Travis played it, but wasn't sure if he had beaten it. Can you chime in with your overall impressions on the game and specifically on the ending? I really enjoyed the environment and overall feeling of the game, but the ending did feel kind of rushed. I would say that Metro 2033 is probably my most enjoyable single-player FPS storyline in 2010. Anyway, keep up the good work, Snakozilla. 2033 is really, really good. Unfortunately, I didn't beat it. But maybe I can pick it up on the rental whenever I have a spot available after all these, you know, after October's done. Maybe I can get to it before the new year hits or something. It is
don't
great.
Don't forget that Rock Band 3 comes out this month, too.
Yeah, I know. God, I'm broke.
Too many games.
Yeah, too many games. So little time. But anyway, no, it's really cool, especially to anyone who hasn't jumped on it. It's a really cool little story for Metro 2033. I like it. The aesthetically, the game's really, really good looking. To me, I think it's one of the better looking first person shooters available
right
now. I think it's really, really nice. Yeah.
Would you put it up there with like Killzone 2 and Call of Duty?
I would say in between Call of Duty and Killzone 2, because it looks better than Call of Duty, but I mean, Killzone 2 just looks really good.
Yeah, Killzone 2 looks
really, really good.
Good filtering, special effects and that shit. Yeah.
But, not just like graphically, it's just that the scene it sets that you're in, like, it feels like the world's alive. And a lot of first person shooters can't really do that very well in the campaign. Like, yeah, like, technically, Killzone 2 is good, but like it just feels like a regular war zone, like a normal war zone, whereas the world feels alive. Like there's so many people and everybody's underground. And it's just very, very bleak and everybody's talking at once. Like, if you're in a crowded room, it sounds like a crowded bar and everybody's kind of talking at once. And you can like focus on a conversation here or there. It's really, really put together very well.
So why didn't you beat it then? Why didn't you play it?
It's just other things came along. I was still compelled.
So timing, basically.
Yeah, timing was bad. Yeah, that was pretty much the main
understandable.
Same as Just Cause 2. Like it was just timing's really bad. It came in the middle of a lot of good games. Like it was around, you know, it's a lot. I mean, it's been a great year. I mean, it really has been a great year. This is definitely for me like the best year in gaming that I've experienced. No doubt,
it's getting up there.
No doubt.
That's for sure.
It's already there. It's October, and I'm already there.
I said, dude, not even this fucking year, this generation has been... I know there's a lot of haters being like, this generation is not good for gaming. Yeah, I think it's the best generation.
Oh, I think it is, too.
Since the 16-bit era, for sure. Like, this has just been fucking awesome.
Right. I agree.
What else you got?
Honestly,
I'm going to push everything to the mailbag for right now so we can stack up for the mailbag show. Why don't you go ahead and give us that one VM we have waiting for us.
Oh, you mean this one?
It's time for another edition of...
I only have one thing left to do, and I'm not gonna do it in front of you, so I'm gonna end the song like this, as I warm up my wrist.
Damn it, I forgot to buy Kleenex. That's why I use a sock.
Hey guys, it's Ace Ty here with another edition of Random Questions. This week it's a few simple ones, and then we go into a thinking one. The first question is pink or regular lemonade? Because there's a difference. All right. The second question is what percent milk do you currently have in your refrigerator? And the third question is when is the last time you broke something? And we're like, fucking hell.
I like these. These are good random questions that you don't have to think too hard about.
That's right. What was the first one?
I can answer all of them.
Was the first one the lemonade question? Or was
lemonade.
First one
lemonade. Pink or regular? Pink or regular lemonade.
Pink lemonade for me.
I can't tell the difference.
Really? Pink lemonade is sweeter, I think.
I can tell the difference. I prefer... depends. I can go with pink lemonade.
I like regular. I'll be the different one.
Just to be different.
Yeah, why not?
Schmuck. What kind of milk?
I have 1% actually in my thing right now, in my fridge right now.
God, I used to thrive
off protein shake.
I used to thrive off that whole milk, man. I was all about
for real?
That whole milk. Dude, I used to chew my fucking milk.
That's like fucking eating a meal.
Yeah,
that's like thicker than Guinness.
It's pretty... It doesn't taste as good, though.
No.
But now, I went from one end of the spectrum to the other. And when I married Megan...
That's gross.
And when we decided to move in together, she's like, well, there's one thing we're going to have to really change about, you know, your lifestyle is that, you know, you can have your video game room, you can have all this, but we're drinking skim milk. And I'm like, all right.
Gross.
At the point, it's just normal to me. It just tastes like milk.
I used to drink it, like, when I mix it with something, but I can't, like, mixing cereal with skim milk is just...
Yeah, you get used to it. Small price to pay to live with a hottie.
Yeah.
I don't really drink regular, like, milk, just normally. It has to be,
I drink
like,
chocolate milk. Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be chocolate milk.
Unless I mix it with, like protein shit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it would have to be mixed with something. Yeah, I don't drink milk straight. I don't like the taste. But if I did have milk in the house, it would be skim.
Well, I would with our, cause we're all kind of on the same, you know, nutrition plan. I would say get you Jeff, I think you have this already, but I definitely use it every day. A glass of milk, mixed in with a scoop of, pure whey protein powder.
Oh yeah. No, I mix it. It's 1% though.
Yeah.
Cause I like it. When it was skim is a little bit too thin, too watery. So I'm right. Like I want a little bit of a, you know, the primal stuff, it promotes a little bit of fat. So I'm like, yeah, 1% with some good chocolate flavored whey protein. Good mm-hmm. stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I need to get my blender fixed.
I don't even, I just mix it up with a spoon, man. And just gulp
it
down.
You're just doing that.
Oh, no,
I put fruit in mine.
Yeah. I put fruit in mine, yeah. Frozen fruit.
Okay. So you just go smoothie all the way, then, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to go, too. I like that. Tasty.
Last time you broke something.
I broke a couple of hearts in the past.
Oh, look at you, surprise breaker.
Who's going first?
I broke a fucking, okay, doing, getting shit out of the fucking sink, like literally like 2 days ago. I heard a crack and like a little bit of a smash, and I brought out a glass, and there's like a big chunk of a glass missing, which is still in the thing of dishes, and it's Tanya's turn to do dishes, so I want to warn her, but, like, there's a piece of glass in there somewhere. I don't exactly know where. Kind of looked, it's decent size. But I was kind of like, oh, fuck. But actually, the one time I broke something, okay, this is actually kind of, this is video game related. When I thought I did a whole fuck moment was when my old place, me and my three mates had like a LAN party for Gears of War, the first one. So I had a bunch of people come over, people brought over the 360s, we put up a bunch of TVs, and I made the mistake of someone put in their disc in the 360, and I had to move the console. So I had to move from the floor up onto a chair, like vertically.
Oh, no.
And as I was moving, all I heard was,
yeah.
Boom! Oh my God! Craziness! And then I sit there, and it was fucking loud, and I looked at everyone like, no one heard it, because everyone was being loud and drinking their stuff, and I'm like, no one heard that, I was going to put it right here, hope everything's cool. And every once in a while, that one console would freeze. And he didn't know what the hell was going on. And I kept my mouth shut. Like, I don't know what
until now.
Well, he doesn't listen.
Does he listen to the show?
No. So it's all good. But that was the last time I literally knew I wrote something and was like, whoa, what the fuck? Oh, shit.
I don't have anything.
I had one of my, I hung up some glass cases. To, like, over my wet bar to just hold wine glasses and shit. Yeah, one of them fell. That was kind of a no-shit moment.
Yeah.
A bunch of glasses broke because of it. And, you know, we actually didn't even know it until... Because, you know, we weren't in the room when it happened. So, and, you know, it's like we have something, like, blocking the view of that area. And, yeah, we didn't know it. I didn't know it until today. And I like kind of walked over there and I was looking for a bottle of wine to grab and noticed that, there were glasses all over the place. And I was like, oh shit, how about that? So yeah, that kind of sucked. Travis?
Cool story, bro. I really can't think of anything. Cause I mean, I'm so clumsy. I break all kinds of shit. So I mean, which one to choose from, right?
When I first got on Skype, I'd be like, hold on a second. I got to fix my mic.
I broke the mic. Yeah, I don't know. But, I really can't think of anything. So, I don't feel like editing out and then putting something in there later. So, no, I don't know.
Alright.
I broke something.
Fine, we'll skip your ass.
Nice.
Cool, well, let's do a question of the week and get out of here then.
Okay.
Cool.
Travis, you had something, right?
Yeah, it was, what is the largest contributing factor that makes or breaks whether or not you buy a video game?
All right, cool. That's a good. I think that'll roll. I think you can roll with that.
That'll work. Yeah, to answer the question of the week, send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can also send us a voicemail. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's like Leap, but it's not.
You can follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. And you can also follow us individually as Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
That is G-E-O to the double F.
Geoff.
Bitches.
Check out our forums on VGEvo.com. And then don't forget we have a Facebook group that has been sending out messages every once in a while recently.
Sorry, I was going to give props to Aces. Aces is now a part of the Irrational Podcast.
Nice.
Podcast. Yeah,
Irrational
he's actually
Passions.
Here.
Yeah.
Irrational Passions. Sorry.
Irrational Passions.
Irrational Passions. Sorry, I've had a few.
Cool.
But, congrats, Aces, dude.
Yeah.
He deserves it, man. He's good guy.
Yeah. So we're thinking about getting you on here instead of Travis, but whatever, we're kind of locked into that, so.
What else? Cast Medium, you can find us under the user section. So check us out on there and leave us a review if you like. And that is all I've got. You guys have anything else before we get out of here?
We're getting done early. I can probably play more Dead Rising too.
I don't think so.
Getting done early. It's midnight. Hey, it's early. Cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you are on iTunes or Zoom Marketplace, please leave us a review. So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I am Jeff.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Yo.
That's Travis. Travis Baum.
Hey.
And I am, of course, Jeff Chorney. And if you're listening to this right now, that means one of three things. You've already beaten Reach, and you want to hear what we think about it?
Yes.
You haven't beaten Reach, but you don't care about spoilers?
Yes.
Or you just don't really give a shit about Reach and playing it. You just maybe might want to know how it ends or something.
Right. Right.
So that's what we're going to be doing.
That was like four things, but who's counting? Right?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Right.
But,
okay.
But hey. So, yeah. So that's what we're going to do here. Right now.
Cool.
So I don't even know where to start, man. What, like, it's Reach. Like, we all knew from the beginning, Reach falls.
Yeah.
You don't make it out alive.
No.
Well, I don't know,
man. Start from the beginning. I mean, you're introduced to Noble Team right off the bat, you know, and I think, like, for me, Bungie accomplished what they wanted to do. They, like, I quickly got absorbed into these characters. Like I started liking these characters like immediately. Maybe like with the exception of like June, I think he was not very interesting enough. Like the third stage when you're with him and you're doing a sniping the scouting mission and everything, that's pretty cool. But like I never really opened up to June because I just thought he was just kind of bland and boring. But everybody else,
it's
like
kind of mundane.
Emile, Carter. I mean, they're all great characters.
Cat was pretty cool.
Yeah, Cat was fantastic. So I mean, but, from the beginning, like just from their small little comments, I was like, okay, I like these guys already.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, same here. And I'd say we might as well just jump right into one of the guys who I actually like the most is actually one of the first people that gets killed off in the game.
Yes,
and that's George.
Yeah, George. And, it was kind of like you knew it was going to happen because he was like, oh, you're going to do this to me now, are you? And it's like, oh, I know what's going to happen. He did the whole, I got good news and bad news.
Yeah.
He's like, of course, you got to like remote detonate and you can't leave.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one before.
But it was cool.
Everyone's seen Armageddon.
Yeah, everybody's seen Armageddon. No, that was a cool scene, though. Like, they do a really, really cool thing with the death of George. It was really, really neat because, you know, how he, like, picks you up and he's like, you know, what is he? I can't remember exactly what he said, but he was just along the lines of, like, you know.
Use gravity or something? Or is that before that?
No, right before he throws you out into space, he's like, you know, you know, just make it count. Whatever you do, make it count. And he throws him out and, of course, the ship explodes. Well, like 4 or 5 stages later, it was after you do the mission in New Alexandria where you're flying from building to building. They're all sitting in there waiting for, I guess, the inevitable to happen. You're with the whole team or what's left of them. And Carter has said at least George, because everybody knew this was going to end badly. It's time for everybody to accept it. And I think they're all kind of like letting it set in. And then Carter says, well, at least George got to die, you know, thinking he was a hero. Oh, that broke my heart. It killed me. I was like, oh, man, George.
That sucks.
But that was really, really cool.
I want to clear something up too, because George does make a comment actually twice when you're talking to Dr. Halsey. I think it's like the third or fourth mission, or second mission actually. Mm-hmm. And he refers to her as mom. Not her son.
Yeah, okay. Isn't it because of the type of Spartan he is, right? Like, there's a difference between Spartan 2s and Spartan 3s.
Yeah, basically, like, she like, spearheaded the whole Spartan project. So, basically, she's known all these people, like, these group of Spartans since they were, like, really young kids. Mm-hmm. Like, 6 years old or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, basically, they grew up with her, like, overlooking them and everything like that. So, literally, it's not his mom.
But well, it was cool because, like, George... Like, he spoke to her differently. Like, Carter and everyone else was just like, like, who are you?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Actually, we're Carter's military.
I was, like, happy when Carter pulled that line when she's, like, trying to say, like, hey, well, if you do this, it's going to be, like, whatever. You can't do this, whatever. And he's like, oh, yeah, really? Well, we're under winter conflict, and no human can get in the way of Spartan doing their job or something like that.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome. I was like, yeah, you give it back to her, because they made Dr. Halsey a bitch in this game at the beginning.
Yeah, anyway. And I heard you talking, you were saying in the book, she's really not like that.
She's not like that at all.
Yeah.
No. And that's another thing, these characters aren't really from the book either, so.
Yeah,
like, okay. Brand new. So that's why I was kind of confused, because I wasn't sure what the kind of Spartans they were, but I'm pretty sure they are Spartan 2s. If not Spartan 2s, they're definitely early Spartan 3s.
Well, I think it kind of confirms that George, especially because he's like really, really old, much older than everybody else, that he's a Spartan 2 and everyone else is
the next
generation.
Actually,
yeah,
the other ones might be 3s. Yeah. That could be exactly it.
I mean, we don't know how old Emil is, but I mean, we can just assume that. I mean, he stayed pretty silent, and you know,
during
that scene. Around like level, stage 3, where you know you're with June and you're scouting to find out. Okay, well, you know, the Covenant is doing some sneaky shit. Let's try to see if we can find out what their deal is. How many of them are there? And that was a neat little scene, like towards the end of that at the end of that stage, where you peer over that cliff and you just see nothing but like the Covenant armada. And
yeah,
you're just like,
oh shit.
Like, cause like,
this isn't just like a small invasion. This is like an all out, like,
this is
assault on Reach.
Yeah,
basically.
Exactly.
They're not looking for something. They want to wipe this place out.
Yeah. And I kind of wish that happened like at like stage 2 or something. Cause I felt like going through the first 2 levels, like story wise, it kind of like the story was going at a crawl.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. For
but,
sure.
But once that happened, like once that scene happened, then it led into the stage tip of the spear.
Yeah, that's when we all come in on the Warthogs.
Yeah,
and that's
when the hit the fan. That's when you got the cool levels that everywhere you look, there's like banshees in the air and there's tanks on the ground, like everywhere. I mean, the game really, really took off.
Oh, for sure. And that's when it really hit. I think the level after that might be one of my favorites. That's the one, I can't remember if we talked about this last week or not, but the one that starts off on the beach. The one they showed at E3, and then you start driving, you fly the Spectre. And after that, you go into the Covenant ship, and that's exactly where What's-His-Face dies.
That was a great level,
George.
Man.
And then it goes in that anti-gravity area, and all the sound's muffled, and it's all slow motion.
Yeah, that was a really, really cool stage. I honestly thought that the Spectre part of the game, the space combat, was going to be very tacked on. I thought it was going to be very, very short. And to my surprise that I was wrong on both accounts, it was actually really, really good. It felt great. And on top of that, it was most of the level, aside from the part
where it was a perfect length. Like, right when I started to be like, okay, this is getting kind of old, that's exactly when it ended, when you had to fly into the Covenant ship.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, this is pretty cool. I mean, you just throw a radar in that and, like, maybe a better HUD, and they can build an entire game based on this space combat alone.
Yeah, like build a game based upon that. But honestly, for being just a small mission in the game, I really like the HUD and everything like that. They did a really cool thing that I'm sure they do it in other games. But like, if you're trying when you're firing the missiles, you can just lock on. But when you're trying to find out where to aim your machine guns, there was like a little reticule kind of like ahead of like the Banshees and the Seraphs. That was really, really cool. That allowed making the game a little bit more easier, because I think that would have been like extremely frustrating.
Yeah, a lot of space combat games, even regular like air combat, do that kind of thing too now. But yeah. Didn't you find that part a little bit too easy? Well, you played on heroic.
I was on heroic. It was insanely easy.
Okay, because I found it pretty easy on normal. Like, I didn't die once during that section of that level. And I don't know if it was because they were too afraid, if they made it too hard, people would be like, okay, screw this or what, but I don't know. Like, I had fun, but I could have liked a little bit more challenge, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't come close to dying.
Yeah, it was pretty simple.
Yeah.
So, all right, what happens after that? Who's the next person to choke? Because I get confused with... Because first of all, I don't remember June dying, to be honest.
June didn't die. June was actually the only one noble that survives. Because after George dies, let's see, you land in New Alexandria. And yep. You fight through there.
And I like that level. You said you didn't really like that level.
I didn't like the
look of it?
The urban portion at the very beginning where you're walking around. Once you got up into the Pelican and you're flying around, and wasn't a Pelican?
Well, you meet up with all the ODSTs and stuff like that.
Yes, I love that part, like flying from building to building. That was really, really cool. I just didn't like the beginning. I just thought the buildings were very bland compared to the rest of the game. It looks really, really good. I just thought that was. It didn't look bad. It just was the worst looking part of the game.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like, because most of the time when Bungie does city stuff, like cityscapes, well, ODST, and it was all dark and it looked really cool, and this is kind of like the same kind of thing, but in daylight.
Daylight, yeah.
And it just doesn't, I see what you're saying. It looks a bit plain.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think, is this where you run into Buck? Or is that, no, that's the very end.
Well, no, you don't run into Buck. Right? You don't run into Buck at all.
You just hear him. You hear him talking. Yeah.
You hear him talking, and someone says,
it's the Falcon level, I think, right?
Yeah. Someone says, he needs your assistance.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So you're just covering up for him, but you don't actually see him. But it's Nathan Fillion again, too. That's
cool. Absolutely. And I was hoping he had a bigger cameo because, like, they mentioned it, like, toward the end of ODST. Like, if we can survive Reach, we can survive this. And I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, I figured it would be at that part when you hook up with all the Helljumper, like, all the ODST guys, and you're fighting alongside them.
Yeah.
Which that part of the game actually was pretty damn tough, I remember. Like I did quite a bit of one part. And I thought it was gonna be one where he's gonna walk up to you like, hey, I'm Buck, whatever. It's been good fighting with you. Because ODSTs and Spartans don't really like each other.
Yeah.
And like, well, in the lore, and I thought that would be pretty cool, but that would have been neat. I was expecting it, but they didn't throw him out there.
Kind of a missed opportunity there.
I think it could have been cool.
But after that, like I said, you know, the scene where I talked about where, you know, the guys in, you know, Carter had mentioned George, like at least he thought he died a hero. Well, after that, you're escaping down, and Cat takes a bullet right through the head.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Style.
That was done really, really well. To me, probably the most, like emotional. Like, it just you know, pulled at my strings. And it was done really well, too, because, like, it was in slow motion. It's that one sniper shot, and she
second
drops.
Second it hits her. Yeah. The sound goes all kind of low, and then it's, like, boom,
And then afterwards, like, you're all kind of like congregating in that cave to hide from the Covenant because they're about to glass the planet, and he's just holding her body. Man, that was just oof.
Yeah,
that just it sends chills just thinking about it. Because I mean, and I was thinking to myself, you know, we talked about it before this game came out, and I was like, dude, this game is going to end like so
bad.
Strong. It's gonna be such a strong ending to really lead into Halo. And at the scene where, like, he's carrying Kat, I can literally feel, like, rising and rising. I'm like, oh, my God, this thing is about to explode. Like, and then we'll get to the end later for me, what I felt personally. But
we have totally opposite opinions on that, I think.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we definitely. And I don't know anyone who shares my opinion. So I guess I may be wrong.
I share your opinion up to a certain point. The very end. Well, we'll get to there.
Yeah, we'll get to it. But after that was what? Going to the last stage where you're flying the.
And I think this is where they kind of, because Carter and Kat played really big roles. Carter, Kat, and June, I think, had like the biggest roles. I guess the only one who doesn't really get a lot of like screen time, so to say, would be
Emil,
and yeah, until like closer to the end. But they killed off Carter. Like, they kind of, I don't want to say they half-assed, but I think they might have rush it. Like, he's just simply flying the Pelican.
I kind of liked his death out of most of everybody's.
Actually, no. Okay, sorry. His actual death is awesome. I keep forgetting what he does after. I'm just thinking of the scene where he's basically like shot a bunch of times in the Pelican. He drops his helmet.
Yeah, because like,
what he does. Yeah.
Yeah, that was back, awesome. Totally. Like, because like I forget what happened. Like, you kind of wake up. In the Pelican, and you look over, and he's like, you can see blood. You don't see Carter, but you see blood and the cracked windshield.
And his
like,
helmet.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so, you know, he's done for, and he knows it, too. Yeah, but that scene, like, up to me, that was one of the most coolest scenes, because, like, you're in a cave, and you and Emil are, like, blocked off by a scarab, right?
Well, yeah, not quite yet. That's, like, is that scene, but then, yeah, I was going to say, just spoiler part right before that, is the homage to Halo 3 and Halo 1. There's got to be that Warthog scene or something where you're driving through a bunch of crazy shit's happening. Mm-hmm. This has one of the best, I think, when you're on the, you're both on the,
Mongoose, yeah.
The Mongoose, yeah, and you're going, like, through, like, Scarab's legs and shit, going, just keep moving and all this crap's going on everywhere.
That was intense.
And I was like, oh, cool, Scarab's nice. I want to, like, take one of these down.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, exactly what you were just talking about, when you can't get by because there's a Scarab right there. It's like, yeah, so what did he do?
It was a cool scene because what did he say? Carter was like, I'm out of ammunition. Yeah. He's like, I may not have any bullets, but I have mass.
Yep.
And it was the coolest shit because he flies around aiming for the head of the Scarab, and right before he hits, he says, Carter, out. Boom!
Yeah,
and
I was boom, like,
oh,
runs
my
right
God.
Into it.
And that even, like, really, really enforced what I was feeling earlier when, like, you know, right after Cat died. I'm like, oh my God, this is epic. I can't believe this is happening. This is the greatest game ever. And, dude, I'm serious. I was so hyped when this stuff was happening.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Especially for a Halo game or first person shooter for that matter, because it's not a great story and they don't convey it the best way ever. But in terms of FPS games that aren't Half-Life, and of course some other ones like BioShock or whatnot, but
yeah,
I think it's done pretty damn well for the most part.
Yeah,
at least those scenes anyway.
Yeah. So then next you're heading to the Pillar of Autumn, but there's a reason that you have to go to the Pillar of Autumn.
That's right.
Yes.
You're delivering Cortana.
Yep. And she chose Noble Six, like she chose him, which I guess I don't understand. I mean, I know Cortana chose Chief, but like, what's really the significance?
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
AI choosing,
or like
AI having the choice, and that, like, why does AI? I don't understand, like, how AI
the only thing they say kind of in the book is something to do with compatibility, personality compatibility, stuff like that, which is weird because Cortana in the book, because they don't really go into detail what Cortana really is or like how she came about in Reach, but she's very kind of like, you know, she's kind of really professional, has a little bit of a sense of humor, whereas Master Chief in the book was very kind of, he was kind of by the book, but he's also kind of like a lone wolf kind of dude, but did stuff the way he wanted to, and that's why it was a big surprise that Cortana would even choose Master Chief. So I don't really know. The continuity. There we go, Jeff. I haven't even had a drink.
Nice.
It's kind of messed up when it goes along with the whole AI with Spartan thing.
Right.
I don't know.
Cool.
Exactly.
So, so we're delivering Cortana to the pillar, and you make it to the pillar. And that was really cool, making it, like, getting closer and closer, because there's, like, three or four big, big areas, you know, and that you have to fight through, you know, to make it finally to the pillar. And it was really cool because we've always been talking about, like, the backdrops are beautiful in this game. And this last stage was no exception. But every time you would move closer and closer to the Autumn via these big battlefields, like, the backdrop of the Autumn would change and get closer and closer. Like, I almost thought it was almost in real time that it, like, you know, it was all part of the stage and you were getting closer to it. If that's the case, that fucking map is massive.
That would be massive. I'm not sure that's just really good smoke and mirrors or what, but...
Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah. I would like to know if that is smoke and mirrors or not.
Because technically that whole map starts when you're doing the Mongoose race.
Yeah.
Because you go up to the top and they're like, that's our target when you have to jump down on those elites. And you can see the Pillar of Autumn, like, way in the background.
Right.
All right. So then, you're basically the Pillar of Autumn. Then you find out, Commander Keyes from the first Halo, of course. He's piloting the Pillar of Autumn. He's got to come get Cortana because you guys are fighting off the Covenant on the, the line. So he's going to come pick it up in a Pelican and you have to fight off a bunch of Covenant.
Yeah, the dropships and everything, yeah.
Then the dropships come down, and that's a pretty cool part. I want to try this part co-op, because apparently somebody controls the gun, someone's still fighting Covenant on the ground while this is going on.
Yeah, you can have like there's a suitcase with like a Spartan laser or something.
Yeah, exactly, something like that.
That'd be cool. Well, but before that, Emil gets it, though. But Emil goes out.
Oh, that's right, he gets it before that.
Yeah, he goes out like a fucking man, though, because it's after you give Keys Cortana, was cool. That was a great cameo to see Commander Keyes. Yeah. Captain Keyes. That was really cool. But yeah, how does Emil get it? Like, he gets a sword or something like that.
He goes up, he's controlling the big ass, what's it called, turret, mag cannon.
Yeah.
That's taking out the ships. And then, basically an elite comes up there. He's actually celebrating or something. Isn't he coming in, like, telling you to don't worry, something? And
something, I don't know.
Oh, he's getting off the gun to come meet you. And then you see an elite sneak up behind him. And then just, yeah, he gets a sword right in the back. But he keeps trying to fight him off. And then
he pulls out his knife and takes out the Elite Two with a sword through his stomach. That was pretty badass.
Yeah, he stabs him. Then there's like another one there. And then you just see the Elite take him down. And that's pretty much the end of Emil.
Yeah.
Until you see his body later. But then, that's when you have to go up there and you got to man the gun.
And then you're fighting off the dropships and everything. And then all the whole time there's a Corvette coming and you have to fight off the dropships for the gun to get in range to shoot the Corvette. And then, the pillar can take off.
Happens, then you take it out. And then, that's when Captain Keyes comes, because then you come down to give him Cortana and then he's like, all right, get on here to take you to the Pillar of Autumn. And this is when I thought you were going to see Master Chief. This is when I thought he was actually going to be on the Pelican, just like standing there or something like that. But no,
yeah, I thought so too. Yeah.
But then you're like, no, I got to stand here and distract them while you get back. And so basically, that's basically saying, all right, you're willing to take one for the team, and you're gonna die, no matter what.
So the pillar takes off, and while you're doing that, there's no prompt at all. But once the pillar starts to take off, there is an Easter egg. You can control the camera. It's the part toward the ending while the pillar's taking off and all the pelicans and all the vehicles are loading into the dock before the doors close. If you take your finger and hold the right stick to the right, you'll eventually control the camera to the right and you'll get a shot of Master Chief in the cryotube.
Yep. Which is
So it's cool. It's a nice.
I never saw that. I'm gonna go back and play that and take a look at that. I missed it.
Yeah, I had to YouTube it.
Is where I think, and that's basically the end. It basically comes down to in the Pillar of Autumn flying, and that goes through subspace, comes out, and then it starts with the exact same dialogue that Halo 1 starts with, where Captain Key says, did we lose him? And then Cortana's like, I think you know the answer to that. And then that's it. Then it starts basically shows the Pillar of Autumn going towards Halo, and then credits are rolling, or posting on the screen. Right. But this is where I think I agree with you, because you said you wanted it to go out in like more of like a big bang thing, right?
I wanted to see. Now, my problem with the ending in general, okay, what happens after the credits, I am okay with, in a way. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it, because how many times have I bitched and complained that the main character should have died? It would have been more emotional and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I get that, but why am I not satisfied? The story is, it's Halo Reach, right? It's the story of Reach. It's the fall of Reach. Yes, we saw Reach get the shit beat out of it, but one of the big things about Reach is that to me, for personally, it gets glassed. Like, it becomes glass. I mean, until I guess it goes away or whatever. But I wanted to see that so bad.
Yeah, they didn't
like,
show
I,
me about
I really, really, really wanted to see the Covenant glass a planet, because we never really truly see that happen on the mass scale that we're supposed to. And this is Reach's story. You know, I mean, you're a part of Noble Six. I mean, you're a part of Noble Team. You are Noble Six. But this is Reach's story. I think this is what the whole game's about. And to see what's supposed to happen to Reach, not the entire story, come full circle and see the complete destruction of it, I thought that was another missed opportunity. Like, yeah, I wanted Noble Six and the rest of Noble Team to go down. All right. Well, let's get into the after credits real quick.
Because I just want to see how they've made better, because after the credits part's kind of different. Like, what do you rather them show? Like, it pans out and there's like a ton of Covenant Corvettes like glassing the planet like all over the place, and then
I would have liked you. I would have liked.
I disagree with you. I don't think the game is about Reach at all. Because if that would mean that people would have to read up on what actually Reach is, and they don't really go into that. I think they really wanted to take like a group of Spartans that were close and stuff like that, like a Generation X type thing, and they basically tell their story of when the whole thing with Reach was going.
Mm-hmm.
So I think their focus was actually on the characters, but at the same time, I feel the same way as you. I think it should have been more... They should have showed more destruction of Reach at the end, not... Because that battle at the end, it is pretty big, but that's basically it. So it's only one small section of Reach.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for me, it would have made the ending, that part of the ending, much better. Even if they just, when they're showing the pillar take off, like scale back or something like that, and show like all of Reach, and then have like basically Covenant ships everywhere and a bunch of Corvettes just glassing the hell out of it.
Glassing it. And I think it would have been, I mean, if I were to create the game, if I were to say, okay, this is what you do in the ending, I would have the pillar taken off, and then I would actually wouldn't have the glassing right there. I would have liked to see a glassing from the first person perspective. And that's kind of like the ending I had visualized in my head. Like, you're going to see this shit happen and you're going to be there. Oh, and you
okay,
can't
the guy's coming
it.
Up to you and you can't do anything about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, that would be kind of cool. Yeah.
Doing the lone wolf mission and you're fighting and fighting off. I would like it that you can survive the Covenant attack. You can survive all these guys coming at you. But if you die, you don't get to see the true ending. But if you make it out, boom, they're all dead, and guess what? A Corvette comes along, and you get glassed.
Yeah.
Game over. That would have blew my mind. I just thought, though, okay, after the credits, now you got to fight until you die. Because, I mean, to me, it cheapens it. You have no reason to sit there and fight. No reason whatsoever. You could just set your controller down, and you're going to get the same ending. I think if you would have fought, and actually made it out to get, like, a better ending, like you die anyway, but you just get a better, more destructive, so you get to see the glassing, you get to take part in it. That would have been really, really cool, because to me that was the big thing. And like I said, you disagree with it being Reach's story, but I do like the way this game has been marketed has been about Reach. It's been Reach, like, that's the slogan, remember Reach.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I thought that was going to be just the complete story of Reach, from the second you find out the Covenant are there to just obliterate the planet or whatever. They're not there to destroy it. They're there for the artifact, you know?
See, I don't know. I like that ending because, well, obviously, but there's this part at the end. Obviously, the credits go, and the base is called Lone Wolf or whatever. And you're basically fighting off Covenant, and it's all quiet. There's dust kicking up everywhere, and you're going through, and basically more Covenant come. My problem with this is not enough came. Like, there were bigger battles. Like, I thought you were going to fight until eventually you're just so over, like, you're basically overwhelmed with enemies that there's no way in hell you could do it. But I liked it because it's like he's saying he wants to go down fighting, and then they put you back in, you know, his shoes, and you're like, hey, I'm going to go down fighting, and this is what's going to happen. Because, I mean, if you don't beat the game once already, you're not going to know that there could or could not be two or three different kinds of endings, because there isn't. There is just one, but you're not going to know that the first time playing through.
No.
So I thought the feeling of that when I was fighting, I'm like, fuck you, motherfuckers. Like, you know what? I ain't going down without a fight. And then when it cues that last cutscene, when it's showing him fight off, like, all the elites and everything, like, and they're, like, stabbing him, and he's just still trying to, like, punch him in the face and take him down. But they still do it. Like, you still don't see his face at all. It's, like, all, like, shoulders down. I thought that was done really, really well.
Yeah, that was done very well. Yeah.
And then, but I wish it was a bigger fight, though. I wish it was just, like, to a point where you're like, holy crap. Because I never actually felt holy crap during that part. I was just like, I'm pissed off these guys. But I was never like, I was more like, come on, this is all you got? Like, there's way more enemies than firefight.
Yeah.
Throw everything you got at me.
You know, it would have been pretty cool if they made that section linear. Because it seems like it was like an endless expanse that you can keep on walking throughout.
Yeah.
If they made it linear to where you can, like, fight forward until you get to, like, a dead end. And when you turn around, you're surrounded. That would be pretty cool.
Or something like, dude, you're basically coming down, like to maybe some kind of open, like, lake or something, and it looks all fucking beautiful, but then behind you have a crap load of Covenant coming, and then all of a sudden, like you said, then you see a Corvette come and just start blasting, like, right in front of you, and you're basically, fucked either way.
Man, it's that, like, would have been amazing. That would have been so cool.
Oh, we should have so been working on Reach.
I know, we should have.
We would have made a better ending.
We should have, yeah.
But overall, I do think it's the best ending in a Halo game. I think the other ones were terrible. So.
Well, it was the best anything
I think it is the best Halo game, yeah.
Yeah, this was the best.
Really think it is the best Halo game that they've made.
Yeah.
I mean, one still has the whole wow factor because it was something kind of new at the time, and holy crap, big open worlds and awesome multiplayer, but ever since then.
There was something that was kind of weird, though. Aside from, I mean, you know, Reach is the birthplace of the Spartan program, so it's the home of the Spartans, literally. Aside from Noble Team, you don't see any Spartans. I thought that was really weird.
That is weird, because, like, in the book, most of the Spartans are in space. Not most of them. Like, that's where Master Chief is fighting for the most part, is up in space, like, on Covenant ships and stuff. Besides a little part when he does go down to Reach to fight, but that's really short. But yeah, I was hoping that, too. I was hoping to have, like, teams of, like, Spartans, but you just happen to be on Noble 6.
Yeah.
Like, at least run into them or talk to them.
Yeah.
But what, the Spartan program had 6 of them? 7, including Master Chief? Like, like, really?
Yeah, I thought there would have been a lot of Spartans. I thought that would have been cool to see a whole bunch of them. you know, fighting at your side and not just regular, because there's tons of regular guys, and you even see the ODSTs, but you don't see any other Spartans. I thought that was kind of weird. You know, I thought for sure you were going to hear Sergeant Johnson, like, while you're in the space mission.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's actually a Spartan, too, or was a Spartan.
He was, yeah. Based on continuity, though, Sergeant Johnson was, he was on the space deck, the observation deck of the
Pillar of Autumn
ship, no, the ships that you were protecting at the time.
Oh, yeah, he was up, doing, like, he was doing the Master Chief type stuff.
Yeah,
Sergeant Johnson, like, he was up in space.
Yeah, and I thought
the one you're protecting, the one you're, the one you're protecting when you're, like, the very end?
Yeah, no. In the Spectre.
Spectre? Oh, okay, that's right, yeah.
Those ships you're defending and everything?
Yeah.
The one that's getting damaged if you don't fight off the fighters? That's the observation decks where Sergeant Johnson is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he didn't bring him back at all for that.
I thought that was really weird, but the one last thing that I have that really resonates with me about this game is no matter, like, they really, really focused on, the humans did have victories on Reach, but they always came with a massive cost. So it was always a losing situation from, okay, you destroyed the Corvette in space, but you lost George. You defended the Oni base in New Alexandria, but you lost Cat. You know, there was a mission.
Or you lost New Alexandria. You drove them out, but look at this place now. Ain't no one going to be living here.
Yeah. A really good instance is one. This is one of the first ones too. It was a stage where one of the first urban stages. Before you get hauled off, you have to pretty much save like these vessels that are escorting people out.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And, you know, you finally make it, and all of a sudden, a Corvette... The space cruisers, one of the ships, like the Pillar of Autumn, and you help fight them off, and like, yeah, we beat the Corvette, and the big ship's flying above you, and next thing you know, another Corvette's above it, and destroys it. It's like, okay, yeah, every time you have a victory, you gotta expect something bad's gonna happen, because the Covenant were just too stacked up against them. It was... always like impending doom, just no matter what good happens. It was interesting.
Yeah. Evacuate gets shot down in that part too. So you're like, oh, there goes an entire evac shuttle full of like civilians.
Yeah.
Done. And they did a good job of that, because there's actually, what's that one level? It's the level we're actually in, obviously, during the day where all the civilians are kind of running around. I thought that was kind of cool. Like when you're going through the buildings and stuff and they're like standing around, like running, and like that was like, it added a little bit more life to the city, like that's never really been in a Halo before, except for a little bit in Halo 3.
Yeah,
like civilians around, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty neat, because like you, in a way, you're kind of like escorting them through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was really neat.
Like Spartans, I never thought I'd see a Spartan in real life, and like all these comments stuff like that, kind of cheesy, but. You go into the dance club and fight off like all those hunters. I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, that was like, really neat. I actually just ran through there. I was like, fuck this. I'm just going to destroy this thing and run through. Yeah. So I was like, I'm out of here. I destroyed the generator and hightailed it.
Yeah, exactly.
So did we miss anything? Is there anything that...
I don't think we missed anything important, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you die at the end. It was just like how it died, which is really the spoiler part, I guess.
Yeah. Well, the only survivors were pretty much Halsey and June.
Yeah, so June but does live, huh?
Yeah.
So what happened to June? Did he take off with... Was he left with Halsey, I guess?
Before you, Carter, and Emil took off on a ship to go to the last stage, they had another Pelican right next to him, and Carter charged June to protect Halsey. And then just drove off.
And Halsey, obviously... Oh, does Halsey live? So I'm trying to think. She's not in any of
the
Halo games.
I thought they were going to die, because when they were taken off and you were, because you kind of have control of your perspective and you're sitting in your Pelican and they're flying off in theirs. When they were flying off, a sinkhole starts to happen under their ship. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It looked amazing. Oh my God. Yeah. It was beautiful.
I thought they were going to get sucked in or something.
Yeah. I thought they were going to get sucked in or something, but something like she was destroying her base pretty much. That's what she did.
I wonder why they did that then, because I don't remember June or Halsey being in any of the other Halo games.
Mm-mm.
So that's really weird.
Yeah, so... I don't know. Anyway, but that's crazy. Pretty much it
Halo in about half an hour.
Yeah.
Halo Reach.
Cool deal. All right, man.
Awesome. We'll see you next time when we spoil... Madden.
Blah.
Blah.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Peace.